later in this show. Short time after 9:15. In other news, Culture Secretary Lisa Nandy drops the F-bomb on Reform UK. She says they're fascists.
I've got a lot of experience of living with the consequences of othering and people who are trying to divide us from one another. And I guess I would just say that if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, in my experience, it usually is a duck.
How accurate is that description or depiction in other news?
The Liberal Democrats are trying to force the government to release information about the Chinese embassy, potentially with just days to go before it gets the green light. I'm LBC's Aggie Chambray with the exclusive.
Those stories and more follow the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, Keir Starmer will speak at Downing Street this morning following President Trump's threat to ramp up tariffs over Greenland. He said he'll apply levies on 8 European countries, opposing his efforts to take over the Danish territory. The Prime Minister told Donald Trump in a phone call yesterday that applying them is wrong. Cabinet Minister Lisa Nandy has told LBC tariffs would be terrible for the British and US economies.
We've had good success and good dialogue in talking to them when we've had previous issues around tariffs being imposed on friends and allies. So we'll be doing the same in this instance. And we have made clear our view that the future of Greenland is a matter for the people of Greenland and people of the Kingdom of Denmark only. And that is a position that we hold that is not going to change.
At least 39 people have died in a crash involving two high-speed trains in southern Spain. It happened in Andalusia last night. LBC's reporter Fraser Knight has the latest.
The first train, which was travelling from Malaga to Madrid, derailed onto the opposite track last night. It then collided with an oncoming service. A recording has been released of the moments that followed on board one of them. In the tannoy announcement, staff can be heard calmly urging passengers to stay seated. Officials are warning the death toll could rise in what is Spain's worst rail crash in more than a decade.
The government has pulled its amendments to the proposed Hillsborough Law, which aims to prevent public cover-ups. The bill's been heavily criticised over concerns that security services could be exempt from disclosing information. The Romford MP, Andrew Rosendale, has become the second Conservative in a week to defect to Reform UK. The former Shadow Minister says he's putting country before party. A Conservative Party source says Reform are welcome to him. And Prince Harry's civil case against the publisher of the Daily Mail is due to start at the High Court later. The Duke of Sussex and several other high-profile figures have accused Associated Newspapers Limited of breaches of privacy. The publisher denies the claims. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,235. It closed down 3 on Friday. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many today. Drier for central and southeastern areas with a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
How would you describe McCain vibes?
I would reckon it's like a crisp and a chip. If they had a baby, do you know what I mean? Well, you know what?
A chip and a crisp.
Combination.
It's got crisp ancestry, but it's a chip.
Like a hot chip. Crisp combo thingy? Yeah? Pure poetry, that was.
McCain vibes. Our chip crisp combo hot snack thingies in a freezer aisle near you.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning to you. 3 minutes after seven, Monday the 19th of January. A tit-for-tat tariff war. And is now the time the British Prime Minister Sir Keir Starmer must stand up to Donald Trump, a man who's used to getting his way, whether by fair means or some would suggest foul. Well, you'll hear from Sir Keir Starmer later in the show, sometime after 9:15, somewhere around there. But I'm asking you, is this his stance over Greenland? Bear in mind, they can build as many bases as they want in Greenland due to a treaty signed in the 50s. We need to go that far. Let's come back to events here in the UK. And another defection to Reform.
Reform UK now have seven MPs as Andrew Rosendale joins Nigel Farage's party from the Conservatives. I'm LBC's Henry Riley getting the reaction of Rosendale's Romford residents.
As much of the media in this country and indeed around the world looks away from Iran, the story is still of importance. Here's the Supreme Leader branding President Trump a criminal.
We do consider the US president a criminal because of casualties and damages, because of accusations against the Iranian nation.
How parents could be paid up to £5,000 a year to drive children to school, children with certain needs, drive children to school as councils try and cut those huge and burgeoning taxi bills. And I'll see you in court.
Prince Harry's been suing the tabloids for the last 7 years. His biggest claim starts today in the High Court. I'm Ian Bloom, media law consultant. I'll be previewing this case with Nick later.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
What do you want to hear from our Prime Minister in a little over 2 hours' time? Sir Keir Starmer will give an address to the nation, is understood concerning the threat to Greenland. I remind you, this is an extraordinary fight in which everyone's getting themselves, because the United States, courtesy of a treaty, I can't remember exactly when, but it was in the 1950s, should it so desire, can open more military bases on Greenland. The local population is against it, Denmark is against it, the European Union is against it, and you have the extraordinary situation where other NATO countries are shipping troops into Greenland, in case of any form of hostile action from the United States. An extraordinary game of chess. Now, we've already heard the Prime Minister telling Trump his threat to impose tariffs is wrong. Sir Keir Starmer will hold that press conference, as I say, later this morning. There have been crisis conversations with European leaders. They could be looking at £80 billion worth of EU tariffs on the US. Meanwhile, to Washington, where one top Republican is accusing President Trump of risking a possible war with NATO. LBC's US correspondent Simon Marks has filed this report from Washington.
I'm a fan of Denmark, too. I'm a big fan. But, you know, the fact that they had a boat land there 500 years ago doesn't mean that they own the land.
The President of the United States speaking last week and appearing to see no contradiction between his designs on Greenland and the fact that American sovereignty was also the direct result of a very similar boat trip by the Pilgrim Fathers aboard the Mayflower. It set sail from England 405 years ago. Nonetheless, this weekend, Trump upped the ante, threatening tariffs on eight NATO allies, including the UK, and insisting they will only intensify the longer they refuse his efforts to acquire Greenland.
He could quadruple the tariffs and we still wouldn't do it. He could threaten us more with military intervention and we still wouldn't give up Greenland.
That's Rasmus Jarlov, chair of the Defence and Resilience Committee in the Danish Parliament. He told LBC yesterday that Trump is engaged in extortion.
We're not going to do that. It will be immoral just to hand over 57,000 Danish citizens that don't want to be part of the United States.
The Prime Minister will today hold a press conference occasioned by the President's threat to cause massive damage to the economy of Britain and the other NATO countries that Trump is targeting. In a phone call yesterday, Sir Keir Starmer told the President his tariff plan is flat wrong. The EU is threatening to unleash billions of pounds of retaliatory tariffs against US exporters. European leaders will confront President Trump at the World Economic Forum in Davos this week and encourage him to back down. Meanwhile, here in America, evidence that the president may have bitten off more than he can chew.
In 1951, we signed a treaty with Denmark that allows us full access to Greenland.
Republican Congressman Mike McCall of Texas is a leading foreign policy voice within the president's own party. He echoed Denmark's argument that President Trump doesn't need to buy or annex Greenland to boost the U.S. presence there.
The fact is, the president has full military access to Greenland to protect us from any threats. So if he wants to purchase Greenland, that's one thing. But for him to militarily invade would turn Article 5 of NATO on its very head. In essence, put us at war with NATO itself.
He spoke to ABC News. Other Republicans are also breaking with the president, several of them publicly warning that he is risking a possible third impeachment process against him by flogging the Greenland horse, and that any effort to seize the territory with military action would be the end of his administration, at a time when 65% of Americans tell pollsters an invasion would be a mistake. Democrats are also piling on. Mikey Sherrill, the newly elected governor of New Jersey, also spoke to ABC.
There is not one person in New Jersey that wakes up in the morning and says, gee, I hope today's the day that the president dumps billions of dollars into buying Greenland while my grocery store costs continue to go up. That's a trade. Nobody wants that trade.
New Jersey Governor Mikey Sherrill concluding the report by LBC's US correspondent Simon Marks. Now let's turn to Simon Hoare, who is a Conservative MP, also chairs the Public Administration and Constitutional Affairs Select Committee, and has been vocal in suggesting that the state visit, the King's visit, should be cancelled. Joins me now. We're talking about this visit in April, so it's not that far away, certainly in planning and security terms. Shouldn't we stay close to our friends in the special relationship, Mr. Hoare? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, look, it is a close friendship, and sometimes close friends have to be full and frank with each other. The president has clearly gone, I would suggest, rogue in a number of policy areas. He is, I think everybody would recognise, quite a sort of childlike person in what he, with his likes and his dislikes. He clearly thinks he's very close to the royal family. He revelled in the fact that he was the only president to have two state visits to the UK. There's obviously the instrument of tariff retaliation, which the UK can deploy, but his ego is actually more fragile than his economy. And if the palace, on prime ministerial advice, said, look, what you're doing in tariff terms, what you're doing with regards to Greenland and the unsettling of NATO, we can't be seen to be endorsing or turning a blind eye to. I'm afraid on this very important year for America, it's its 250th anniversary since independence, and I'm afraid the visit is off because the sovereign, as head of state of the UK, cannot meet somebody who is head of state of another country who is trying to effectively destabilize and unravel the NATO settlement, which has helped keep the peace in the North Atlantic area for decades.
You don't fear, as some commentators suggest, Mr. Hoare, that is actually dragging our royal family, dragging our monarch into the political arena?
No, it's not, because all of these things, the sovereign never ever sort of acts independently on these things. If you remember, it was the Prime Minister who took our Prime Minister who took the invitation.
Yes.
For a state visit to the White House. These state visits are closely coordinated with Number 10 in the centre of government, and they're always undertaken with the connivance and the advice of the government of the day. They are an adjunct to British foreign policy and the exercise of soft influence across the globe. It's not as if the King sort of thinks, oh, I think I might have a state visit somewhere, picks up the phone and says, you know, I'll be with you a week on Thursday.
But as you rightly say, President Trump's behaviour is unpredictable. If the United Kingdom were to do that, he could decide to possibly double the tariffs against the United Kingdom, and you'll be aware our economy is in a fairly fragile state, Mr.
Yeah, it is, but this is the classic tactic of a bully.
I know,
isn't
yes,
it?
I know,
and you know, we're talking about Greenland and the Danes, and you know, we knew full well with the Vikings, once you pay the Dane his geld, he comes back for more. And I think he just works on the basis that, you know, he's the big I am. He is the president of the leading superpower globally, that everybody will just be so fearful that they will do whatever he wants. Now, there is clearly breaking voices in his own party. Congress needs to sort of muscle up and try to rein him in. He has been behaving like some sort of latter-day democratically elected Al Capone, and it's got to stop.
Okay, lastly, this is a foreign affair, and you had a shadow minister for foreign affairs, Andrew Rosendale, who's defected, another one gone to Reform UK. Many people leaving your merry band, Mr. Hoare. Your reaction?
Well, I'm always sorry when somebody leaves our party, but I am encouraged by the increase in our membership. People are rejoining and joining for the first time the Tory party because they like what Kemi is doing in terms of fessing up to our mistakes and errors over recent years and are optimistic about the future. And I think they're getting quite excited about that. So
I will leave it there. Simon Hall, thank you. Conservative MP for North Dorset. And in terms of our conversation, you chair the Public Administration and Constitutional Affairs Select Committee. Listening, Luke Sullivan, whose former political director to Sir Keir Starmer, as recent as July 2024. And I've just been told we've lost the line. Okay, so we'll try and get back to Mr. Sullivan. Let's pose the question anyway. You do, as everybody knows, it's easier said than done, of course, but you do eventually, well, hopefully, have to stand up to a bully. Is this the point? Sir Keir Starmer speaking in around 2 hours almost to the dot. What do you want to hear our Prime Minister say, as it would appear, if you look at the latest comment out of the United States, Scott Bessent, Trump's Treasury Secretary, quotes, Europeans reject weakness, US reject strength. What do you want to hear from our Prime Minister? Also, smash, grab, hit the wallet. A growing problem of thefts of parcel shelves.
I'm one of a growing number of Londoners who've fallen victim to a new form of car theft. I'm Emily Simpson. I'll be talking to Nick later in the show.
7.15, LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
The Prime Minister will speak at Downing Street later following President Trump's threat to ramp up tariffs over Greenland. Two high-speed trains have crashed in southern Spain, killing at least 39 people and injuring dozens more. And Prince Harry's civil case against the publisher of the Daily Mail is due to start at the High Court later. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many, drier for central and southeastern areas, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M25 anti-clockwise from junction 29 at the A127 to 28 at the A12. It's following an accident where one lane is closed. The M3 is very busy southbound from junction 3 at Lightwater to junction 4 at Camberley, and that's because a lorry has broken down. In Belmont, the A217 Brighton Road remains closed both ways, and in Croydon, the A23 Purley Way is closed northbound for the emergency repair works. On the trains, London Overground's Mildmay line is suspended between Clapham Junction and Willesden Junction, and also from Richmond to Willesden Junction, and no Great Western Railway service is running between Gatwick Airport and Redhill.
This is LBC.
Right, I've attached panel 1A to panel 3B.
I think that's panel 5B. Or is it just upside down?
Let's see the picture again.
Okay.
Done! Ah, wait. Do you think this bit was important? Is that what...
No, don't... Flat pack furniture is hard work. Switching your bank account won't be. We'll automatically move your regular payments over when you switch with the current account switch service.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
With Lidl Plus, you can hit your January health goals with 20% off all grapes and up to 20% off selected gut health products, including your favourite brands like Actimel and Activia. Open the Lidl Plus app to start saving. Lidl, more to value. Limited offer while stocks last. Lidl Plus T's and C's apply. 18 plus GB only. Offer ends 28th of the 1st. Calcium contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes.
Hannah entered the Omaze Million Pound House draw and won a £4 million house.
House, an actual house!
Paul won a house too.
That's insane.
Now you could be next when you enter by this Sunday at omaze.co.uk. Because one person is guaranteed to win a £5 million house in London with all the furniture and a quarter of £1 million just to help you settle in. Roger recently opened the door to a brand new future.
Is this a dream?
And this time, it could be you.
And here's the best part. You'll be supporting Alzheimer's Society.
So for your chance to win a luxury house in London worth £5 million, you must enter by this Sunday at omaze.co.uk. Over 18s only, no purchase necessary, conditions apply. £1 million charity donation.
At ulisprosperity.com, you buy the car and we pay you up to £600 per month in rental income. For conditions, visit ulisprosperity.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:18 headlines in a moment. This is actually front page news, but we will now try and get to Luke Sullivan. As I said, political director to Sir Keir Starmer's recent is July 2024, now director at Headland Consultancy. Luke, can you hear me? Morning.
Good morning. Sorry, the tech gods were not being kind to me on a Monday.
Well, there we are. We've got our mistake over for the week. We've decided to field it early. What should we hear from Sir Keir? Well, actually, what do you think we'll hear and what should we hear? Morning, Luke.
Well, good morning. It's a bit like old times, I thought, of when Keir Starmer used to do LBC on a Monday morning. look, he's reportedly sort of changed his plans and his entire sort of public schedule this morning for this press conference in Downing Street. I think it shows how important this issue is, how seriously he's taking it. But I think what we will see is probably a version of his approach to President Trump and international relations since he became Prime Minister 18 months ago, which is he will be very steady and calm. This is obviously was huge news over the weekend, yep. But we've had quiet diplomacy from the Prime Minister in terms of there was a readout of a phone call that happened yesterday with President Trump. And I think behind the scenes, the government are working very, very hard to try and find out and work out exactly where the US position is, but also try and explain what the UK and NATO allies' position is as well.
It is almost like dealing with a ticking grenade or whatever. How would you characterise Sir Keir's handling of President Trump to date?
I think he has done a very, very good job. I think they've both spoken of it being a slightly unusual friendship and relationship, that they both come from different political traditions. But I think there's no doubt that there has been benefits to the Prime Minister's approach. When President Zelensky and J.D. Vance and President Trump had that extraordinary blow-up in the White House, yes. Last year, the first person, one of the first people on the phone to President Trump was Prime Minister Starmer, who was trying to put the pieces back together. Now, I think it's always going to be very, very febrile. I think it's always going to be difficult to deal with an individual like President Trump. But I think Keir Starmer has found his own way. I also thought that his response at the weekend was, you know, I think it was absolutely spot on. And, you know, the fact that we had all the major political parties in the United Kingdom and, you know, European allies essentially saying very similar things shows, I think there is a you know, a support for the Prime Minister in terms of how he deals with President Trump. Look, it's going to be very, very interesting days and weeks to come. But we need to allow the diplomacy to go on and see, you know, how does this pan out over the coming days and weeks, and not sort of rush to, you know, knee-jerk reactions and demanding that, you know, the Prime Minister says or does things.
And lastly and briefly, if you would, Luke, the idea of cancelling the visit in April as put forward by that MP, and I have to say others are supporting that idea. Luke Sullivan.
Look, I understand that. I think that would be a mistake at this stage. Let's let the quiet diplomacy carry out. We've got a range of things that we can do to sort of escalate our response. But, you know, to go straight to that place where, you know, it's a very, very big year for the United States. We have incredible relationships with the UK. We shouldn't just put the King, you know, and it's also Prince William, because I believe Prince William is also intending to visit during the World Cup. I think we're a long way away from that sort of knee-jerk reaction.
I will end it there. Luke Sullivan, thanks for your time. You were political director to Sir Keir Starmer. You're now a director at Headland Consultancy. As I mentioned, this is front page news, I think, for virtually all of the newspapers. The Daily Telegraph, Europe threatens to strike back over Greenland. The Daily Mirror, just one word for its headline, blackmail. The Daily Mail, NATO now heading for disaster in Trump row. The Daily Express fears Trump's tariff threat will rip NATO apart. And yes, it's the front page of The Guardian as well. EU weighs up €93 billion, which is going to be 80-something billion pounds. Retaliation for Trump's Greenland blackmail. We'll come to your views on that in a moment. Quickly, the LBC app, a story we will cover later in the show. We're just locating a journalist to give us more details now. At least 39 dead and around 200 injured after that high-speed train collision in Spain. You've already heard that. featured on the LBC News Bulletin. And quickly looking at other ones that are online at the moment. Actually, Sky News also leading with that one. High-speed trains collide, one derails. It looks horrific, some of the pictures. I mean, absolute destruction of those train carriages. We'll have a report on that in a moment. And I will come to your reactions on Greenland. Is this the moment? Sir Keir Starmer, he, unless we're really unlucky, will definitely be speaking or will have spoken in a couple of hours' time. What do you want to hear from the British Prime Minister? If you, and many of you do, if you subscribe to the theory that President Trump certainly has bullying tendencies, if not a direct bully, at some point, it is advised, one stands up to a bully. Have we now reached that moment? We'll take your views on that. 7:24, but I want to go to another story, and I'm a little dismayed over the weekend how a lot of media organisations are starting to turn away from Iran, not just in this country, by the way, I know, but turning away from Iran and the extraordinary bravery that was displayed by the people last week. Well, speaking on the weekend, here's Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, branding President Trump a criminal.
We do consider the US president a criminal because of casualties and damages, because of accusations against the Iranian nation.
Let's turn to David Patrick Karakos, who's special correspondent of the Daily Mail. He wrote Nuclear Iran, the Birth of an Atomic State, and has written much over the last week or so in the Daily Mail about this story. David, good to have you on. I've been reading your pieces. Where do you see this story going next? And do you fear that the world has, you know journalism as well as I do, the world has moved on from Iran to a degree? David, morning.
Morning. Yeah, I can only sadly agree with you, Nick. It does appear that the world is moving on, and, you know, thanks to Donald Trump again. And I think it is absolutely vital, as I think you've made the point many times, that it does not move on. We have a short attention span, but I want people to understand that just because the cameras aren't on Iran metaphorically anymore, the violence hasn't stopped, the oppression hasn't stopped, the brutality hasn't stopped. Look, Khamenei, you heard him there, you know, croaking away. You know, he's doubling down. You know, the war of words continues. President Trump said that, you know, Iran needs a new leader. The Iranians came out and said, you know, if there are any plans to assassinate Ayatollah Khamenei, that will be an act of war. People are still suffering. This regime is not defeated. It hasn't gone anywhere yet. So, yes, Iran is not finished at all.
What would you want to see from Sir Keir Starmer? What would you want to see from the European Union? Because you can, as you rightly say, David, you can never call Trump. You never know which way it's going to be. So perhaps more, if it's fair, more calmer heads elsewhere.
You're absolutely right. Look, in the end, there is a degree to which, to what the European Union can do, as we're seeing with Greenland right now, unfortunately, and that's our own fault for outsourcing our security to the United States for 80 plus years. This is what you get. Sooner or later, a bully will come along and you'll pay for your weakness. What the Europeans can do is keep the pressure on. Already Iran is isolated, but they can keep the diplomatic pressure on, and they can keep the diplomatic pressure on Donald Trump. Look, Trump, in the end, as you said, he's whimsical. You never know what he's going to do, but he does care about his reputation. He does care about face, especially when it comes to looking tough. I think Trump, funnily enough, that makes him manipulatable on certain issues, and this would be an instance where it would be a good form of manipulation. Understand something else as well. This is not just about Iran, okay? There is a global battle against, you know, the barbarism of Islamism, but if Iran falls, and anything halfway sane comes to power, it will be a benefit to the world. Leaving aside Iran is a huge, important country. Energy markets will benefit. Global security will benefit, as well as the Iranian people. This is something where the regime is on the brink. Look, my diagnosis, as I wrote, the rot is terminal, but not necessarily imminent. It is incumbent upon us to do everything that we can to hasten the end of one of the most barbarous and brutal regimes of this century.
Keep up the great work you're doing. I will end it there. Keep up the great work you're doing in the Daily Mail. Thank you. David Patrick Karakos is a special correspondent for the Daily Mail. He also wrote Nuclear Iran, the Birth of an Atomic State, 7:27. We're going to try and make sure that we keep our eyes on that story because the bravery of those people, of course, still hundreds, possibly thousands awaiting, quotes, trial. Well, not justice as we know in a country like the United Kingdom. Right, what should the UK response be to the US over Greenland? Thanks for holding. Robin Maidstone, you're first up. What do you want to hear later? Rob, morning.
Hi, Nick. What I really want to hear is that we have a unified set of targeted tariffs like we did in Trump 1.0. So in Trump 1.0, what the EU did is it went after Harley-Davidson, Jack Daniels, and a number of other companies, all in Republican states, and applied pressure to Trump via the Senate. And if, when it comes to Greenland, it's things like understanding that Denmark's economy, a lot of it's pharmaceuticals, so it produces a huge amount of Ozempic and insulin that it sells into the US.
Right.
So they could. There are targeted ways of getting the Republican senators to actually put a brake on Trump on some of this stuff.
Are you ready, possibly, for a trade war? Because obviously he... Well, I say obviously, you never know with Mr. Trump. I sense he would retaliate, so we could suddenly find ourselves paying considerably more for US goods. Now, I'm not saying I'm against that. I'm just interested as how you would respond, Rob.
Well, that's what they said during Trump 1.0. What actually happened is the Republicans quietly applied pressure and they removed a bunch of the tariffs that Trump had already put on us in the first round. So it's about applying pressure without battering his ego, basically, because it wasn't an attack on Trump. It was actually independent. It was Republican states that suffered.
All right. Lastly, do you think Sir Keir Starmer has the spherical objects to do that later today?
Well, I think if he does it under cover of it's all of Europe as the biggest market for the US, then I think, yes, he does have.
Look after yourself, Rob. Always good speaking. I hope you're well. Thank you. This conversation will continue. I'll take more of your views on that. Staying on this theme after the news...
Here we go again. Tariff wars heat up as the EU prepares to retaliate against Trump's latest tariff salvo over Greenland. I'm Christian May from City AM, discussing this shortly.
Plus, have you been affected by the smash, grab and hit in the wallet? This is the growing number of parcel shelves that are stolen by from cars, stolen by thieves from cars, and then sold through the pub or wherever it might be for 50 quid. You will be staggered. When I drive through London, I've seen a couple of rear windows smashed and suddenly the pen is dropped. Fortunately, I haven't got a parcel shelf on my car, or that would have gone as well. And of course, there's presumably the rear window's damned expensive. The price of these parcel shelves will stun you. So have you been a victim to that? And later in the show, I'll see you in court. Yeah, Prince Harry versus the Daily Mail Group. It is 7:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, here on LBC News Time. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer will make an emergency speech at Downing Street later on the growing tensions over Greenland. President Trump has threatened tariffs on 8 European allies opposing his efforts to take over the territory. You can hear the Prime Minister's speech live here on LBC after 9 o'clock this morning. In other news this morning, at least 39 people have died after 2 high-speed trains collided in southern Spain. The cause of the crash in Andalusia last night is not yet clear. And Prince Harry's civil case against the publisher of the Daily Mail is due to start at the High Court today. The Duke of Sussex and several other high-profile figures have accused Associated Newspapers Limited of breaching privacy, which it denies. LBC weather cloudy without breaks of rain for many. Drier in central and southeastern areas, a high of 11 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
West Midlands Police did not engage in a without fear or favour investigation to establish the evidence to lead to the conclusion that these vans should be banned. How did the police, entrusted with dealing with the facts, arrive at that decision? And the answer is, they went into that fact-finding mission wanting to ban the vans.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Can I have your attention, please? The British Airways original sale is now on. And now
ooh, a sale. Turns out January isn't so bad after all. I could try flamenco dancing in Madrid. Cycle the streets of Amsterdam. Oh, Dad could do with a dose of culture in Venice, though. He still thinks Vivaldi's a supermarket.
Start the year flying with the British Airways original sale. Enjoy £45 fares across the UK and Europe and get up to £200 off holidays. Limited availability. Prices each way based on a return fare. Minimum spend on holiday offers. Book by 19th January. T's and C's apply.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
Always dreamt of running your own business. It might be easier to achieve than you think. With a franchise, you benefit from a tried and tested business model and ongoing support. Kickstart your journey to business ownership. Visit the British and International Franchise Exhibition on the 30th and 31st of January at Olympia, London. Meet exciting franchise brands, watch inspiring talks, and get free expert advice. Book your free tickets today at franchisetickets.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
7:34 is the time. Ali, you'll be the next caller. What do you want to hear from the British Prime Minister? Of course, that's going to be, as I say, sometime around 9:15. But let's get into the world of finance now. Christian Mayer's editor-in-chief at City AM. I've mentioned President Trump. Of course, there could be a dust-up in Davos later this week. Christian, explain why. Morning to you.
Good morning. That's right. Donald Trump is heading to Davos, the Alpine summit for the global elite, where he will almost certainly come face to face with European leaders, many of whom are now preparing, if not itching, for about an $80 billion salvo in return. Donald Trump has threatened this sweeping 10% tariffs on countries unless they fall into line with his ambitions on Greenland. The European economic leaders are absolutely furious. They are weighing up major retaliatory tariffs. They met last night to consider their response. They'll be meeting again throughout the day. Emmanuel Macron, particularly spicy in his criticism, says we need a big bazooka response. There is debate as to the wisdom of a retaliatory tariff war. And, of course, caught in the middle of this, and certainly not exempt, is the British economy and the Prime Minister, who was due to make a speech this morning on the cost of living crisis, I think, hastily rewritten to give a speech instead on this new tariff threat. You can understand why the European economies are so exercised by this. Germany exports about $160 billion worth of goods to the US, the UK under half that, but still a sizable amount. And you'll remember when Donald Trump announced his great Liberation Day tariffs last April, there was all sorts of pandemonium. The UK car industry in particular and other manufacturers exporting to the US were very badly hit. There will be hope, I suppose, in Downing Street that the government can arrange some sort of carve out from those tariffs as they did last time round. But markets are braced ahead of the open. Overnight, Asian markets are down. The expectation that markets across Europe and indeed London when they open this morning will suffer a similar fate, and probably in the US as well. So there is some hope that cooler heads will prevail, possibly on both, but certainly on the European side of the Atlantic. Because a major tit-for-tat tariff war is not the way in which anybody wanted to start the economy in 2026.
All right, let's move to the story that's leading City AM online, which is Rachel Reeves' glowing words about the future of the city. What are they and how realistic are they? Christian.
Well, the London public markets at the London Stock Exchange has suffered in recent years. There's been a dearth of new companies coming onto the main market, what we call a float or a listing, or that initial public offering. People will hear the phrase the IPO when companies sell their shares. There's been a real dearth, and the UK has slipped way down the global rankings in this, and people have been very exercised about this. The last Conservative government put in place a series of reforms to try to encourage more companies to come to London and stay in London, because the other side of this debate is that many businesses are delisting in London and heading to other markets around the world, particularly in America. And this government has continued many of those reforms, so there's been efforts to cut the red tape involved with this, new tax incentives to encourage firms to list. Rachel Reeves, with a large delegation of people from the city, will be at the Stock Exchange this morning. Chancellor will hail a new golden age for the square mile. She talks about all of her new rules and reforms reinvigorating the public markets. She's going to link that to the fact that the FTSE 100 has hit its record high. However, as we've just discussed, most people now expect it to lose some of those gains of recent weeks, given the new economic uncertainty. There were a few companies coming to the market towards the end of last year, which put a little bit of a spring in the step of city watchers. But there's some way to go to make up for the tens of billions that was raised in the public markets in sort of 2021, 2022, 2023 even. The end of last year was better than the year before, but there is still some way to go. But I suppose the interesting thing here is the extent to which the Chancellor wants to show off the city, which is and remains a bright spot in the UK economy.
And lastly, reminding everyone you are Editor-in-Chief at City AM. How often do you leave your palatial offices and actually get down, as it were, on the shop floor?
Well, that's basically my second home, or third or fourth home, as you've seen me touring various gaffs around London. Look, this comes off the back, I suppose, of a new study by a risk consultancy firm, which is asking business leaders what do they identify as the main risks, I suppose, of their day job, because we've talked about the big macroeconomic risks and geopolitical risks. Closer to home, 1 in 10 business leaders say that they avoid meeting junior colleagues because they're so fearful of false allegations, and around 20% or so have said that they've experienced such concerns. Or sorry, about 16% has said they face false allegations from junior colleagues. Other risks that people identify is social media. Half of bosses say that they just avoid it. It's not where they want to go. But there is this heightened sense that they're operating in a risk-on environment, and various efforts to mitigate those risks. Some of them seem quite sensible. Some of them you might think are a bit of an overreaction or come with some negative consequences. The idea that you would avoid spending any time with junior colleagues it doesn't speak to an environment based on mutual trust, does it? But it's not an issue that you face, I know, with your excellent team of young producers around you. And I'm happy to say that I've got no such concerns about my team of journalists either.
Christian Mayers, Editor-in-Chief at City AM. Christian, thank you. On the subject of trust, we're going to be speaking in a moment or three about how distrust is now the new default instinct, according to a survey. More on that in a moment. 7:40. Let's get Ali in Slough into the conversation. Thanks for holding, Ali. Morning to you, sir. What do you want to hear as the UK stance towards Donald Trump?
Good morning. Morning, I suspect it'll be Frank Spencer addressing Donald Trump. Some countries do have him, if you will accept that. The reality is, Nick, if you go back to Britain's darkest hour when the Nazis were in the Channel Tunnel, Britain was stripped bare by America in every respect. If you people can look it up, it's not a secret. The junk was sold for nothing. Dollars and gold were taken to Fort Knox. And all the British industry was stripped out in America. So Donald Trump is not an aberration. Donald Trump is America without the makeup. It is a virulently ideological society, and it sees an opportunity. It'll go for Europe because China is its main competitor now. And secondly, I've got to give it to you and everybody else. What Trump is doing now is what Britain and France did to Palestine at the end of the First World War, strategic interest and resources over people, but yet the hypocrisy is quite striking.
But, of course, the difference being that the United States are already on or in Greenland, and they have provision of a treaty dating back 70-plus years. They can build as many bases as they want. That's
what's so
bizarre.
Britain was also in Palestine. Yeah, Britain was also in Palestine before it gave it up to Zionism. So Britain didn't have to give Palestine up to Zionism and deport.
No, but if we stay with current, and I know that, and you're very keen on that area, and I respect that. But do you not find this position by Trump quite extraordinary? If he wants more bases, he can build more bases.
No, but he's not interested in bases now. You've got to look at the Cold War dynamics. That assisted America because it needed Europe on side when the Soviet Union or the Iron Curtain was as far as Berlin. Global politics changes and people's interests change, or nations' interests change, based on political developments.
Always enjoy speaking with Ali. Thank you. I have to move on. Look after yourself. Have a good day. 7:41. We were speaking earlier about trust in the workplace, and that fits nicely with every year at around this time. We've called something to talk about the Edelman Trust Barometer. Now, Edelman is a global communications firm, and each year they survey on various areas. And the headlines that pop out from this year's finding on the Trust Barometer are concern of distrust is the new default for the UK public. Nationalism is on the rise, and optimism for the future continues to ebb. Oh dear, oh dear. What a gloomy menu to pick through with Julian Payne, who's the UK CEO of Edelman. Thanks for going on, Julian. Just remind listeners, how many years have you and your colleagues been putting this together, and what is it you specifically seek to address? Morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, this is the 26th year that we've been measuring trust, and I'm sorry to add to the woes of Blue Monday today, but it does paint a rather difficult picture, as we've seen over the last 5 years, the trust in institutions like government, I'm sorry to say media, Nick,
yep,
NGOs and business have been in decline, and we're at a very, very low level now.
What do you put that down to? There's an interesting line where you think personal networks, social media is filling a void. Explain a little more on that, if you would, Julian.
Yeah, as we've seen people losing faith in governments, despite new elections, people haven't seen the changes that they've wanted. Media people find hard to believe what they're hearing. They're retreating into smaller and smaller groups. And in the end, the people that they're trusting are their friends, their family, and those small podcasts, those small groups in social media that they have chosen to connect with. The rest of the world, they're retreating away from. And the Trust Barometer has told us that now 76% of people are unwilling or hesitant to trust somebody whose values, whose background is different to their own.
I'm afraid keeping the picture rather gloomy. Optimism for the future. Address that, Julian.
Well, I'm sorry to say again, if you look at the UK and you ask people, do they think the future is going to be better for the next generation than their own? Just 14% believe that it will be. If you go globally, it's 32%. So people really struggling with the future outlook.
And a word on the idea of nationalism, another of the Edelman findings.
Interestingly, what people are saying here is that there is 25-point lead of people saying, I would rather have companies from the UK operating here rather than foreign companies, even if that means that there would be greater costs involved. Now, there is an upside. I don't want to say it's all doom and gloom. There are places where if we can bring people together, we call it trust broking, and get people talking and finding common ground, we can start to build away from this idea of insularity.
Sorry, what is trust broking or trust brokering? What is that, Julian?
So in the current situation, people are retreating and they only want to hear from people like them. Mm. The idea of trust broking, and this is particularly important in business. Business leaders can do this. It's where you are reintroduced to people who have got a different outlook to you, who perhaps hold different values, and you seek to find common ground. You seek to reestablish some sense of a wider community, and that's how you start to build trust back.
Julian Payne is UK CEO of Edelman, the global communications company that for more than 20 years produced their annual barometers. Julian, thanks for your input on that. Coming up after the news, Abu, we'll talk to you about what you want to hear from the Prime Minister concerning Donald Trump and Greenland. I hope you can hold. I'll give you a good run at it. And also coming up later in the show, the latest Conservative to defect to reform.
I can't stand him personally. I've got no allegiance to him at all. From my own personal point of view, he's a snake.
He was good as Conservative MP. Not, I don't think he'd be good as, you know, he won't get nothing out of reforms.
Yeah, he's gone. He's Shadow Minister Andrew Rosendale, and LBC's Henry Riley's been speaking with the good folk of Romford to get those reactions. Full report later in the show. 7:45 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer will speak at Downing Street this morning following President Trump's threat to ramp up tariffs over Greenland. At least 39 people have died after two high-speed trains collided in southern Spain. And the government has pulled its amendment to the proposed Hillsborough law, which aims to prevent public cover-ups. LBC weather. Cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many. Drier for central and southeastern areas. A high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Two problems on the M25. Firstly, on the Essex stretch, it's very busy anti-clockwise from junction 29 at the A127 to 28 at the A12, and that's following an accident. And then also clockwise on the M25, it's slow from junction 16 at the M40 to 17 at Maple Cross, and that was after an accident that happened earlier. In Croydon, there are delays with Purley Way, the A23 being closed northbound for the emergency works. Very busy southbound to the Blackwall Tunnel because a car has broken down. On the trains, all these problems do continue for London Overground. Mard May Line services can't run between Clapham Junction and Willesden Junction. And Chiltern Railways aren't running southbound from Amersham to Harrow-on-the-Hill.
LBC.
And when teams feel supported, they can achieve anything.
Sorry, just had even more of my team are off ill.
Have you tried Benenden Health? It's easy to set up. They've got a GP helpline you can book 24/7.
Where were we?
A coffee break, hopefully.
Press play on your people's health with a wide range of healthcare services for less than £16 per employee per month. Search Benenden for business. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
Experience. It's knowing when something is worth waiting for and when it isn't. That's why Saga Health Insurance offers unlimited GP appointments whenever you need them. With a choice of flexible plans, prompt tests and treatment, your health is taken care of. And right now, get 3 months free. Search Saga Health Insurance for a quote today. New customers starting a policy before the 19th of February. Pay bi-monthly direct debit for the first year. Terms and conditions apply. Over 50s only.
A Thames Link train is a place where you can wind down and catch up. A chance to let conversations flow and plans unfold. And swap doom scrolling for telling stories. Too good for the group chat. Make the journey part of the joy and save one third with off-peak group tickets at thameslinkrailway.com. Terms apply.
Always dreamt of running your own business. It might be easier to achieve than you think. With a franchise, you benefit from a tried and tested business model and ongoing support. Kickstart your journey to business ownership. Visit the British and International Franchise Exhibition on the 30th and 31st of January at Olympia, London. Meet exciting franchise brands, watch inspiring talks, and get free expert advice. Book your free tickets today at franchisetickets.co.uk.
Bring your pensions together with PensionBee and take control of your retirement. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
To be or not to be.
Right now, we're offering a range of incentives across Audi models.
That is the...
But only until the 28th of February.
The,
So stop whatever you're doing.
I'll be right back. Just carry on without me.
And find yours online or at your local Audi centre. Audi. Vorsprung durch Technik. Terms and conditions apply. Selected models, retail customers and participating Audi centres only.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. Affordable cover with a cash payout. Search Sunlight Cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payment. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
10 minutes before 8. Abu in Croydon. Thank you for hanging on the line. What do you want to hear from Sakir? Morning.
Good morning, great Nick Ferrari. I appreciate your call. And you know, as a Commonwealth country, I'm a member of the Commonwealth, Sierra Leone. I'm appealing to the Prime Minister to tell the Donald Trump to forget about Greenland, because Greenland is a peaceful country. Let them concentrate in countries where democracy is under siege. And Sierra Leone is one country. Iran is one country. So I'm appealing to Keir Starmer to please talk to Donald Trump and the other world leaders.
What you do, and I'm sure you are aware, Abu, you have to be aware of what's called the strategical significance of Greenland and how key it could be to a country such as Russia or possibly China, and the influence then it would have towards NATO. So I appreciate that Trump is acting in quite a capricious, quite a selfish manner, just doing it for himself, but you do have to have an eye sort of on European security, Abu.
Yes, you are quite right. And I think the best thing the U.S. government should do is to increase the deployment of military in Greenland to make sure the security. Yes. But to talk about annexing it or taking it is unrealistic. You know, it's not a priority for people who are suffering in other countries like my country, Sierra Leone. In democracy is under siege. So let them concentrate in countries like that where people are calling, when people are crying in Sierra Leone. I'm not lying to you. In 2023, the present government stole the people's mandate. They use the police and the military to bulldoze their way into power, and they are still there fighting the legitimate leader who won the election. And Dr. Samora Kamara is right now in hiding, and the illegal president Julius Maada Bio is still using force, killing people and arresting people.
It's important you said that, and you have done, Abu, and many people would say the same about Iran and other parts of the world. Thank you for bringing us up to speed with events in Sierra Leone. I will end it there. I look forward to speaking with you again, because we're coming back to stories in this country. And 8 minutes before eight, I have to tell you that I am of a certain age, that you used to see shattered car glass, car windows, on side windows when radios used to be stolen from cars. That's right, you could actually I know, what? You could actually buy a car. My first car didn't have a radio, it wasn't fitted, and you would add a radio. And then it was a roaring trade in car radios many, many some decades ago. Now it would seem the same with parcel shelves. Yes, you did hear that correctly. And now I realise why, as I've driven around London, occasionally I have seen, and it's always the rear window that's gone. And I thought, right, they've left something in the back of the car. They've left a laptop or whatever it might be, an expensive coat, I don't know, a bag from a leading store. No, they actually want the parcel shelf. And then when you look at the prices, we just had a quick look this morning. A replacement parcel shelf. This is obviously dealer supplied, not a third party. So a dealer supplied Range Rover, that's going to start at about £480. Tesla, £300. BMW, £600. Of course, a bloke in a pub can flog you one for £50. Have you had your parcel shelf? Are you one of the growing number of victims, not just in London, but around the country? Well, let's turn to Emily Simpson, who's a journalist in London and who is a victim. What sort of car? When did it happen, Emily? Morning.
Morning, Nick. Got a Jaguar F-Pace.
Oh, nice.
It happened a few months ago. Came out in the morning and noticed that the back window screen was smashed.
Yeah.
And we are so careful about leaving things in the car.
Yeah, you and me both.
So yeah. I was really confused. Thought, well, nothing's been stolen. And then I noticed that the shelf was missing.
Incredible.
I couldn't believe it, to smash a window for that.
So what happened? Do you tell the police? You reported them? Is it insurable?
No, I didn't tell the police. I told the insurance company and they put you through to the windscreen department and you pay your excess and then they came to fix it. But the annoying thing is with this car is it's a very special heated back windscreen.
It had to be, didn't it?
It took ages for them to have to order it in. In the meantime, my car's sitting outside in the street with a shattered windscreen. You know, I put some plastic over it, bin bags over it, but it's not exactly secure.
When you tell other friends or neighbours or family, did they say, oh my God, I know someone who's had their parcel shelf?
Yes. Exactly, in this area. I live in Highgate in North London. Area.
Lovely park.
It's happened a lot around here.
So, here's the big question. You've got your rear window back, right?
Yep.
So, the car is secured. How much would a new one be? Are you going to buy one? Or would you buy one? Apparently, that you can sort of get ones that are not dealer made. You know, they're sort of third party, effectively.
Well, we looked on eBay to see if we should replace it. And even the second hand ones, the right model, they're £300 up to £400 on eBay. So we just decided there was no way we were going to replace it because we want people to see that there's nothing in the car. We don't want the same thing will just happen again.
I see you. I get it. But if you go Christmas shopping or buying birthday presents or something, you can't really leave anything of value in the back of the car because it's on display. That's the only problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true, but I just don't leave things in the car anyway.
All right. I'm very sorry that you... Emily, thanks for going through the details. You are not alone. Apparently, as Emily pointed out, if you go to places such as eBay and Gumtree, there are loads of these parcel shelves that are for sale, and it is a growing phenomenon. The whole operation, this is reported, can be done in 40 seconds. The windows smashed, the parcel shelves gone, and boom, and then sold on for £50. Of course, repairs, hopefully most of us have that excess, so the windscreen, or I know it's the rear window, isn't that expensive, but just go through those prices again. £480 for a Range Rover 1, Tesla 300, BMW 600, and as we heard for that Jaguar, it's £300-400 just on second hand. You might have views on that. That's very much a domestic story. On the more global front, what should we hear from the Prime Minister as regards Greenland? Let's go to social. I don't think I've done enough of your text. Let's give a minute of that now. Jim says, the only way to stand up to Trump would be for the UK and the EU to do a joint retaliation of a digital services tax based on revenue. It could mirror Trump's tariffs, so starting at 10%, then moving to 25% by June. Lobbying by the tech giants inside Washington would be so extreme. VJ says, Trump's tariffs are like a very old-fashioned way of treating a disease by bloodletting. That didn't work, and Trump will soon find out what he is doing won't work. I'm asking you what you'd like to hear from Sir Keir Starmer. Karen simply says, what would I like to hear? I'd like to hear his resignation speech. James in Surrey, Starmer, along with other world leaders, has to start telling the truth about an unstable, bullying and dangerous head of state in the United States. It's ridiculous that together they placate this man. He is a fan of regime change. Maybe that can start at home. And Scott in West Hampstead says, Trump's behaviour has become so erratic and unpredictable, the American public and its politicians need to question whether he is actually fit to govern. There are provisions in the US Constitution to examine this and for an assessment to take place by those around Trump, including medical specialists who then take appropriate action. The UK should also stand strong in supporting Denmark, and Greenland. Also, we're going to be talking, this, a lot of remarks are already coming in. This is going to be our next conversation, actually, which is the idea that the Reform UK is in some way a fascist party, as was put forward by a cabinet minister, cabinet secretary yesterday. You're already getting involved in that. Chris in Westmorning, in response to Lisa Nandy's comments, it's fascism isn't just about rhetoric, it's about authoritarian action. It's the Labour government expanding state power, stopping elections, restricting protest and policing dissent that looks closer to that definition, not Reform UK. And John simply says they're only going after Reform UK for one simple reason, and that's success. Whether you're on the Labour, the Lib Dem or the Conservative side, they can see that this is a party heading in the right direction, growing in the polls. And why? Because it's in tune with the general public. Nothing like the other parties. Well, let's stay with that conversation and pick up what it was that Culture Secretary Lisa Nandy said yesterday about Reform UK and the idea of Nigel Farage being a PM.
I've got a lot of experience of living with the consequences of othering and people who are trying to divide us from one another. And I guess I would just say that if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, in my experience, it usually is a duck.
So if you are a supporter of Reform UK, you're a fascist. How do you respond to that? In other political stories?
The Liberal Democrats are trying to force the government to release information about the Chinese embassy, potentially with just days to go before the embassy gets its green light. I'm LBC's Aggie Chambray with the exclusive.
That's in the next hour and after nine, of course, the Prime Minister's speech live. 8 o'clock news next on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, Keir Starmer will make an emergency speech at Downing Street later this morning on the growing tensions over Greenland. President Trump has threatened tariffs on 8 European allies opposing his efforts to take over the territory. Pressure is growing on the Prime Minister to cancel the King's state visit to the US later this year. Former political director to Keir Starmer, Luke Sullivan, has told Nick such a move could force Mr. Trump to reconsider.
His ego is actually more fragile than his economy. And if the palace, on prime ministerial advice, said, look, the sovereign is head of state of the UK, cannot meet somebody who is head of state of another country who is trying to effectively destabilise and unravel NATO settlement, which has helped keep the peace in the North Atlantic area for decades.
And you can hear the prime minister's speech live here on LBC after 9 o'clock this morning. At least 39 people have died after two high-speed trains collided in southern Spain. 75 others have been injured, 15 seriously. The cause of the crash in Andalusia last night is not yet clear. The government has pulled its amendment to the proposed Hillsborough Law, which aims to prevent public cover-ups. The bill's been heavily criticised over concerns that security services could be exempt from disclosing information. Ministers say they'll work to strengthen the bill without compromising national security. The Romford MP Andrew Rosendale has become the second Conservative in a week to defect to Reform UK. The former shadow minister says he's putting country before party. A Conservative Party source says Reformer welcomed to him. Tory MP Simon Hoare has told Nick that despite recent defections, the party has been seeing an increase in support.
Well, I'm always sorry when somebody leaves our party, but I am encouraged by the increase in our membership. People are rejoining and joining for the first time the Tory party because they like what Kemi is doing in terms of fessing up to our mistakes and errors over recent years and are optimistic about the future.
And Prince Harry's civil case against the Daily Mail's publisher is set to begin at the High Court later. Several other high-profile figures, including Sir Elton John, are also taking legal action. The group has accused Associated Newspapers of unlawful information gathering. The publisher has denied all the claims against it. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 reopened at 10,235. It closed down 3 on Friday. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.15. LBC weather. Cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many today. Drier for central and southeastern areas with a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
It's the season for savings with Virgin Media. Get great deals across our smooth, lightning-fast broadband range. Plus, switching is easy. We'll handle everything for you. That's smooth broadband and smooth switching. Smooth. Like a walrus on a speedboat powering through open fjord waters. Yeah, that's smooth. Visit virginmedia.com. New customers only. Virgin Fibre areas. Restrictions and credit checks apply. Ends 4th of February. Terms apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 3 minutes after eight on Monday, January the 19th, the Culture Secretary Lisa Nandy drops the F-bomb. The F-bomb. F-word as in fascist. That's her view of Reform UK. If you are a Reform supporter, how do you react to that sort of branding? In other news, to the story you've heard on the LBC News Bulletin, at least 39 people killed in that high-speed train collision in Spain. Bianca Bulinu was on board the train. Her words are translated.
We felt the first jolt, and in a fraction of a second, another very strong one. The table in front of our seat fell on top of us, the lights went out, and the carriage roof collapsed.
Our parents could be paid up to £5,000 a year to drive their children to school. These are children, of course, in some instances, sent special educational needs and disabilities. And later today in the courts...
Prince Harry's been suing the tabloids for the last 7 years. His biggest claim starts today in the High Court. I'm Ian Bloom, media law consultant. I'll be previewing this case with Nick later.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Prime Minister, of course, in the next hour, but today is another day, another week where Reform UK are making the headlines. Another start to the week. Two headlines today. One is that the Reform is, in a sense, a fascist party. That's the view of Culture Secretary Lisa Nandy. And the other is, of course, the latest defection, which we touched on in the first hour, the former Shadow Minister, Andrew Rosendale. Now, his constituency is out in Romford and Essex, and we'll go there in just a moment. But before I go to my colleague, Henry Riley, and I've already, as I told you, about just under 10 minutes ago, a lot of reaction already coming in on social media, with a lot of you saying that Labour and others are only going after Reform UK because they're so successful. And this is the tale of the tape at the moment. And I appreciate all this can change, but here are the main parties. Reform UK, 28%. Conservatives behind at 18. Labour behind them at 17. Greens behind them at 14. Lib Dems now in fifth at 13%. So that's the tale of the tape. But let's get out to Romford, the constituency. LBC's reporter Henry Riley is from Thatcher House in Romford, which is Andrew Rosendale's constituency office, and joins me now. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, this colourful flag-waving Thatcherite has represented Romford for 25 years. 59-year-old Andrew Rosendale joined the Conservative Party at the age of 14, but after four and a half decades has become the fourth Tory frontbencher to join Reform UK. Now, he backed Robert Jenrick for the Conservative leadership, and until yesterday, as you mentioned, was one of Kemi Badenoch's shadow ministers. He leaves ahead of crucial elections here and also in the other 31 London boroughs in May. Now, the announcement was made just hours after Nigel Farage had said that his party was not a rescue charity for every panicky Tory MP. At the press conference last week to unveil Robert Jenrick, the Reform UK leader outlined a transfer deadline day for switchers.
There's a lot of speculation in the media about who may or may not defect to us. Are they doing it for their own purposes? Are they of benefit to us? May the 7th, folks, if you're in Parliament, is the deadline. If you're coming to us, do it before May the 7th. We don't want you after that.
And it was on Friday that Kemi Badenoch told a reporter from Sky that she was 100% confident that there would not be any further defections.
Are you confident that no other members of the shadow cabinet will defect?
We are a stronger and more united team because Robert Jenrick is not a team player.
That's not a yes. Are you confident there will be no more defections?
I'm 100% confident. We are a stronger united team.
The MP here is known for his strident views. He's called for Romford to gain independence from London. He's a lifelong Brexit supporter, but said yesterday the Tories were bound to the mistakes of the previous government and that his constituents had been ignored. So as you mentioned, I've been speaking with residents passing Margaret Thatcher House, which is his constituency office, draped in flags. It actually still has some Christmas lights up, so I'm not sure how often it is used. But this is what the folk of Romford have been telling me.
I can't stand him personally.
I've got no allegiance to him at all. I do vote Conservative from my own personal point of view. He's a snake.
Should he have a by-election, do you think? Because he's now defected, he's changed party.
Absolutely, yeah. Should have a by-election. Absolutely.
He can do what he wants to do, but we should have an election because we voted Conservative in here, not before.
Do you think Reform will do well round here? Why do you think he's joined?
He's joined because he wants to keep his job. Will they do well? I don't know. They're all as bad as each other, aren't they, if we're honest?
Of course I'm sad. Absolutely disgusting.
Did you quite like him before?
Yeah, I mean... He was good as Conservative MP. Not, I don't think he'd be good as, you know, he won't get nothing out of reforms.
Yeah, he's gone. Nigel Farage has described Andrew Rosendale as a great patriot, while a Conservative source said he'd been threatening defection for months and that they were welcome to him. He's now Reform UK's 7th MP, the 26th ex-Tory MP or minister to join the party. Lisa Nandy yesterday, the Labour Culture Secretary, was asked whether she would use the term fascist to describe Nigel Farage's government. This is what she said.
I'm not sure that labels are particularly helpful. I've got a lot of experience of living with the consequences of othering and people who are trying to divide us from one another. And I guess I would just say that if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, in my experience, it usually is a duck.
A lot of Conservative defections, Nick. Nigel Farage did tease last week there was a senior Labour defection coming this week. Who that is, when that will be, we don't know.
Henry Riley reporting from Romford, 8:09. Let's turn to James Heal, who's Deputy Political Editor at The Spectator and joins me now. Two aspects then to discuss concerning Reform UK, Andrew Rosendale and Lisa Nandy's view of the party. Which one do you want to start with, James? Morning to you.
Morning. Should we start with Andrew Rosendale?
Sure, let's do it.
Well, I think that on this point, it's something that's been on Andrew Rosendale's mind for a while, but ultimately two things forced his hand last week, one of which was the vote in the House of Lords on the Chagos Islands, and the second, of course, was Robert Jemrick's defection on Thursday. And I think what this really does sum up is how the danger of the Conservative Party right now is that a lot of those Jemrick supporters, some of whom went across to Reform, are now going across in Parliament as well. And so I think that it's interesting to see how much of a song and dance Reform make about this. They're not doing a big press conference today. They're more doing it as a press release, and I think that sums up that they are conscious about what, how many Tories they're taking, but they want to make sure that they sort of try and kill the Tory party before May the 7th and get as much momentum done.
Is there a point at which Nigel Farage needs to bolt the door?
Well, I think, you know, I was very sceptical of the idea that we're going to have this deadline on May the 7th, but they're all insistent, Nigel Farage and his top team are very insistent that it's going to happen. And I think what they're trying to do is project strength, try and kill off the Tory party, take as many as possible before that time, and thereafter kind of focus on broadening out their appeal to the rest of the country, doing more things like that Labour defect who we're expecting to see tomorrow, doing more things such as those sort of you know, non-political advisers that we saw last summer, like Colin Sutton, for instance. And I think that that's what we can expect to see. So a kind of sort of narrowing a focus on the Tories for the next sort of 5 months and then broadening out again.
I can see the argument for someone such as Nadim Zahawi. Would you want Andrew Rosendale in your first 11?
Well, I'm not sure the Conservatives have put him in the first 11. I mean, look, he's lacked the profile, but he was a sitting, you know, serving front bencher. And so I think that he's someone who is a very, very strong activist. He was a real sort of devotee of the British Overseas Territories. Yep. There is a place for him in parliamentary parties, I think.
OK. Lastly, Lisa Nandy is suggesting that the Reform UK is a fascist party. Is she doing that because she's rattled? Is she doing that out of genuine concern and genuine vision of the party? What would you say, James?
A bit of both, and the fact that the Labour Party doesn't know how to deal with Reform. And I want to say, if they are fascist, there's quite a lot of fascists about, given that Reform is still on 30%.
If I take you lastly back to the Prime Minister's conference speech last, I think it was October we were up, yes, it was October, he sort of tried to lay down, throw down the gauntlet against Nigel Farage and Reform. It hasn't had much success, has he?
No, and since that time, I think he's actually wilted once again. I remember talking to delegates there, thinking it was like the King's speech. Finally, he got his way of the tongue-twisting, etc. But once again, all Keir Starmer's sort of inability to articulate itself has reared its head in the new year.
Great for speaking with you. Thanks, James Heal, Deputy Political Editor at The Spectator. 8:12, let's get your voices on the radio. That's what we're about in the morning. Daniel's in Golders Green. Daniel, do you mind my asking, are you interested in voting for Reform? Could you see yourself voting for Reform UK? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I definitely could see myself voting on Reform.
So are you a fascist?
No, absolutely not. And as a Jewish reform supporter, I'm certainly not a fascist, and I wouldn't support a fascist party. But Nick, I find it incredibly ironic that we've got Labour, a Labour government, accusing reform of fascism when Labour themselves are implementing every trait of a fascist government.
That's interesting. Yeah, go through. I can think of jury trials. Are the other aspects you want to bring out, Daniel? That's a good point you're making.
Yeah, thank you, Nick. Cancelling elections, yeah. Fascist. Trying to scrap the right of a jury trial, fascist. Trying to force through mandatory digital ID, fascist. A leader acting like a dictator, fascist. Ruthless suppression of internal opposition, suspending the whip from Labour MPs who object to their own policies, fascist. Utilising and abusing, weaponising all the levers of the state to target political opposition, fascist.
And don't forget, of course, a massive growth in ID cameras, digital ID cameras that are following us all the time through major towns and cities.
Indeed, indeed. Mass surveillance, or a mass rollout of live facial recognition against the wishes of many people.
So let me ask you this lastly, Daniel. As my previous contributor suggested, are Labour saying this because they just don't know how to take on Reform UK?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, Nick. But it's even worse than that. It's that Labour are trying to force through policies against the wishes of the people, and Reform being a populist party, which basically means a political approach that aims to represent ordinary people who feel ignored and disregarded by the established elite.
Daniel, thank you for getting started. I will finish with you to get one more on ahead of the headline. Steve's in Hereford. Steve, are you a Reform voter, if you're a Reform supporter, if you don't mind my asking?
Good morning, Nick. Yes, I am. I think.
So, are you a fascist?
Not when I last looked in the mirror, no.
What would you say to Lisa now?
I just think she's showing that she's quite uninformed. She's not really aware of what the people want. They're not listening to the people. And as the previous caller said, they're the ones acting like fascists. You know, it's just ridiculous. They've got no respect for the government at all. And as for sort of seeing Conservatives come across into Reform as well, that gives me a little bit of concern. Because I'm just concerned that it's sort of like diluting the pot a little bit of you know, good intent.
How many... Would you be concerned if they were to take many more Conservatives? Do you think they've sort of reached peak Conservative spot now?
Yes, I do, to be honest. I think, you know, the one thing that the British government or politics needs is a new intake of people to represent the people, not the same old class or school of people coming in, setting up their stall and repeating what they've said and done before.
I think your view is very, very broadly held, Steve. Thank you for that. It's effectively recycling or retreads of, in some instances, some pretty tired and faded old politicians. Steve, thank you for your input on that. Coming up later in this hour, more on that horrific accident you've heard, rail collision or rail derailment in Spain, which is believed to have killed at least 39 people. And immediately after the news...
The Liberal Democrats are trying to force the government to release information about the Chinese embassy, potentially with just days to go before the embassy gets its green light. I'm LBC's Aggie Chambray with the exclusive.
It's 8:15 LBC News headlines now, though. Dominic Ellis.
The Prime Minister will speak at Downing Street later following President Trump's threat to ramp up tariffs over Greenland. Two high-speed trains have crashed in southern Spain, killing at least 39 people and injuring dozens more. And Prince Harry's civil case against the publisher of the Daily Mail is due to start at the High Court later. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many, drier for central and south-eastern areas, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M25 anti-clockwise from junction 29 at the A127 to 28 at the A12. And that was after an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. One lane is closed on the M25 clockwise between junction 16 at the M40 and 17 at Maple Cross. And that's also after an accident and there are queues on the approach. In Belmont, the Brighton Road, the A217 remains closed. That's causing queues. And in Croydon, the A23 Purley Way is closed northbound for those emergency repair works. And that's also causing delays. On the trains, well, London Overground's Mild May line remains suspended to and from Wilson Junction to both Clapham Junction and Richmond for the emergency works.
This is LBC.
Quick question. Well, actually three, but they are quick. One, do you have a car? Two, are you looking to save on your car insurance? And three, do you have a Tesco club card? Well, if you do, you could get exclusive club card prices when you take out or renew a policy with Tesco Car Insurance. And with three levels of cover available, you can choose the one that's right for you. Over a million club card members are already saving money. So just search online for Tesco Car Insurance.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
Hiya, Kenny the Hamster here, beloved pet of Doug and Carol Brookbank. Now, I've got to hand it to Doug and Kazza. They're doing school pickups, jobs, trips to the supermarket, and still find time to get healthy. Apparently, it's down to some NHS Healthy Choices quiz. Only took them 5 minutes to do, then gave them a simple plan to get started.
Come on, kids.
Total amazeballs.
Take your first little step to healthy. Search NHS Healthy Choices Quiz to get a score and a plan that's right for you.
Can I have your attention, please? The British Airways original sale is now on. And now
ooh, a sale. Turns out January isn't so bad after all. I could try flamenco dancing in Madrid. Cycle the streets of Amsterdam. Oh, Dad could do with a dose of culture in Venice, though. He still thinks Vivaldi's a supermarket.
Start the year flying with the British Airways original sale. Enjoy £45 fares across the UK and Europe and get up to £200 off holidays. Limited availability. Prices each way based on a return fare. Minimum spend on holiday offers. Book by 19th January. T's and C's apply.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:19, Alex, you'll be the next caller. Just to remind you, the Prime Minister speaking probably in around about an hour's time, and we are expecting it to be the kind of response, or what will be the kind of response towards Greenland and President Trump's threats there. We're talking, though, about the Reform UK, both the defection of another senior Conservative, Andrew Rosendale, and the fact that Lisa Nandy is calling the party fascist. Alex, you'll be the next caller in a moment. Andrew in Saltburn says the vast majority of Reform supporters are no more fascist than you or I, but they've been persuaded with popular rhetoric to support a party that definitely is leaning in an authoritarian direction. Mr. Farage's close relationship to all things MAGA, Make America Great Again, disturbs me greatly. It's a far greater threat to British sovereignty than Europe ever, or actually never, was. Mary in Hornchurch, as a resident in Mr. Rosendale's constituency, it doesn't surprise me he's switched to Reform. He's a career politician scared of losing his precious seat. He's only in it for himself. He's an arrogant man who has stand-up arguments on people's doorsteps. And Glyn, I need to apologise. It's a cardinal sin to call Romford in Essex. Although Andrew Rosendale wants us back in Essex, I was expecting him to jump ship months ago. Sorry if I should have said Romford in East London. Apologies to you, Glyn, and anyone else. Alex in Lewisham. Alex, are you interested in voting for Reform? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. No, but I do think that, you know, at the moment it's too early to call Farage a fascist. He's not held power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, therefore it's pretty much impossible. But do I think he has fascist tendencies or authoritarian tendencies? Absolutely. He's fascist adjacent. Remember, he called Vladimir Putin someone he admired greatly. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he loves Donald Trump. He's friends with people like Orban. Do you know what I mean? So, like, he's very fascist adjacent. He's not quite there yet. But, you know, they talk about wanting ICE on the streets of the UK. Well, ICE has turned America into a police state, effectively. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of similarities. And if you look back at his, you know, his history, all of the allegations, you know, If you map all of these things out and you try and paint a picture of somebody's character and personality, I think you'd be hard pushed to find Nigel Farage not close or, you know, in the middle of the authoritarian fascist quadrant.
Okay, why the double digit lead then over all the other political parties? I'm not saying I'm not saying you're wrong. No, but why, why is that?
Well, I mean, because a lot of people really like their leaders to be cruel to other people. You know, it's just a well-trodden thing.
Is it not just a total rejection at the failure of the political system at the moment? And I'm not saying that Nigel Farage is necessarily the answer. He may well not be. But that people are just utterly disenchanted and have run out of patience with the other parties.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. But I also think that if you think the same people who think Nigel Farage is the answer to those problems are going to be the people most affected. Because if you think Nigel Farage is for the working man, then you've got another thing coming. It's a complete fallacy that he's for the working man. If the Conservative Party was the party of the rich, Nigel Farage's party is the party of the oligarch. And, you know, remember this call, Nick, because I tell you, when he gets into power, that's what's going to happen.
Do you think he will get into power? Because you just said when, not if.
Well, I mean, all things are pointing in that direction.
Yeah, everything indicates it. Yeah. I mean, look, they're going to be huge at the next general election. Whether they actually get into number 10, I think there's still a lot of time to play. We're not even in extra time yet. Alex, thank you for that. I'll just read this. John in Hartlepool wants the question rephrased. Lisa Nandy's thought on reforms do reflect a widely held opinion. What does she base it on? Division, anti-immigration, surface-level patriotism, an authoritarian style of politics, a charismatic leader, and campaigns based on grievance, says John in Hartlepool. More calls on that in a moment. 8:23. Now, the government could be forced to release key details relating to meetings they've had about proposed secret rooms within that Chinese super embassy. You may recall we discussed this last week. This comes as ministers are likely to give the building at the Royal Mint Court the green light this week. Here with all the details, LBC's deputy political editor, Aggie Chambray. Aggie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. It could just be hours, Nick, before China's proposed central London so-called mega embassy gets the green light from the government, despite concerns from so many different people about that decision. I should say it's just days before Keir Starmer's trip to Beijing at the end of the month too. So there's fear from many on the Labour side, even actually from some of the Prime Minister's own ministers who worry about the reported 208 secret rooms in the site's basement, which some fear could be used for the detention of dissidents. One of those hidden chambers could be located in close proximity to data cables said to be crucial for financial sector communications. Now, members of the US administration, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, said this weekend he would be very cautious about security concerns. Kemi Badenoch, too, has talked about that. And the Liberal Democrats are very concerned and they want more information. So they've highlighted to me reports about government figures being shown details about unredacted plans of the embassy not available to the public. And after several failed freedom of information requests, they have now written to the Information Commissioner's Office to ask them to force the government to release what was said in meetings about these plans. This is Callum Miller, the Liberal Democrat Foreign Affairs spokesperson.
The time for secrecy is over. The embassy that's proposed by China would be the largest embassy in Europe. It would provide the Chinese potentially with an enormous spy base in the United Kingdom. And it's a critical national security matter, which presents a real threat to citizens up and down this country. It's a particular threat to Hong Kongers here in the United Kingdom who are being persecuted by the Chinese and Hong Kong authorities. They are deeply fearful that a new super spy embassy would provide an opportunity for the Chinese to detain them, to interrogate them, to deny them of their liberty. So it's critically important that we have all the information before the government takes its decision.
Now, Nick, I understand the ICO has received that letter. They are working out how to respond, but they do very much have the power to force the government to publish that information. I do think it is also worth saying there are people like Kieran Martin, who used to be the chief executive of the National Cyber Security Centre, who's basically said, look, Britain's spies are likely to have already gone through these plans, and if Sir Keir Starmer does indeed approve the plans, it will likely be with MI5 and MI6's sign off. That's actually also my understanding, Nick. But the department who will make the final decision and who are keen not to prejudice any final decision, that's the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government, they've declined to comment. But last week in the House of Commons, Housing Minister Matthew Pennycook said, when it comes to human rights, we are forthright with the Chinese government.
LBC's Deputy Political Editor Aggie Chambray reporting. 8:26. Let's come back to the idea that Nigel Farage is a fascist. Obviously, totally rebuffed by Reform UK. Zia Youssef's pointing to the fact that he says that if you look at what Sir Keir Starmer has done, that's far more fascist, as actually one of the callers was saying. Zia Youssef talking about cancelling local elections, denying people the chance to vote, and looking at jury trials. Andrea's in Leighton. Andrea, your reaction to this story. What are you going to tell
Hi.
Me?
Good morning. Hello. Good morning, Nick.
Hello, Andrea.
Hello. Just want to say I feel very disappointed with all of the ways that the parties are communicating at the moment. And particularly with what Lisa Nandy is implying, I feel that she's not giving or doing herself or the Labour Party any favours by this kind of reaction. I think what would be far better is if she was to acknowledge why 30% of the British population are going towards reform, and look at the reasons why people are interested in that and how Labour Party can acknowledge that and look at doing better in those areas.
And why do you think it is?
I think it's about perceived two-tier policing, perceived lack of control of the borders, and a very weak... Keir Starmer appears to me to be quite weak and spineless.
When you say perceived, you don't think those are problems that you identified then? You think they've been misrepresented?
I think that they are problems, and I think that it exists, but I don't know. I mean, I think that things can get blown up by the media, so... And sometimes things can be taken out of proportion, let's say. But I do think there are problems, and the British people are experiencing problems where they feel that they have no control, they don't have control of the borders, and there are people that are very, very worried across this country about the way they see the country going under this government. And that's why I think they're going towards reform. But actually, I think personally, I don't feel that I want to vote for reform.
Right.
I just feel politically lost right now as to who to vote for.
I don't think you're alone there. And it's very, very depressing that there is such, I would suggest, political desert at the moment for so many people.
Mm. And I think that with the media, with social media, it's so influential. And I think that there's too many things that... Keir Starmer, if he was a stronger leader, if he was to stand up and be stronger and make his point known, I think he's too weak. If they had a stronger leader, I don't think this would be happening. But it does worry me that if he wasn't there, who would step in as well? I can't see anybody stepping in. I can't think of anybody in the Labour Party that I would want to see stepping in either.
Lastly, Andrea, how relevant is it in your view that there have been so many U-turns?
I think it's the beginning. I think it's the start. One of your previous callers said he didn't think that it was going to be any more. Oh, sorry, U-turns.
Yes.
U-turns by Keir Starmer.
Yes.
I think U-turns are okay.
Right.
Because it shows that they're listening to the public.
Okay. That's important to take on board. Andrea, thank you for all your input. I've got to get to the news, so I'll let you get on. Jack, you're going to be a caller on that as well. Coming up after the news... how parents of children with SEN, special educational needs or disabilities, could be paid £5,000 a year, but you drive your child or children to school, plus to that train crash in Spain.
Above all, stay together and be very alert. Keep your phone batteries charged. Be careful with your flashlights. You'll need them later.
That is staff offering reassurances to the passengers. More on that after this. It's 8:30. Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC. News then, Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer will make an emergency speech at Downing Street shortly on the growing tensions over Greenland. President Trump has threatened tariffs on 8 European allies opposing his efforts to take over the territory. You can hear the Prime Minister's speech live on LBC after 9 o'clock this morning. At least 39 people have died after two high-speed trains collided in southern Spain. The cause of the crash in Andalusia last night is not yet clear. And Prince Harry's civil case against the publisher of the Daily Mail is due to start at the High Court. The Duke of Sussex and several other high-profile figures have accused Associated Newspapers of breaches of privacy, which it denies. LBC weather, cloudy without breaks of rain for many today, drier in central and southeastern areas with a high of 11 degrees.
This is LBC.
Your morning toast is shaking. Because the McDonald's breakfast bundle means you can bag a sausage sandwich and a selected drink for £2.99. Name a better way to start your day. Wake up and get that savour satisfaction. Until 11 a.m. Not on delivery. Includes a sausage sandwich and a selected drink. Price and participation may vary.
Now, let me ask y'all a question. Are you ready to ditch the crowds and the cookie-cutter holidays? I'm talking quiet mornings spent by crystal clear lakes, cruising across the vast landscapes of Canada and the U.S. at a leisurely pace, stopping at charming towns and saying howdy. Go deeper with littleamerica.co.uk.
At Kia, we have an award-winning range of electric cars for you to discover. From the compact SUV, the Kia EV3, and our latest hatchback, the Kia EV4, to our stylish new Kia EV5, the all-electric family SUV. Discover what driving electric really means. And if you order any Kia electric car by March 31st, you'll enjoy your first two services free. Search Discover Your Kia EV to book your test drive today.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
T's and C's apply.
The Virgin Atlantic Holiday Sale is now on. This is your sign to dive into the crystal water of an ancient cave pool in Mexico. Or dry off in the sun on a white sand beach in the Maldives. Or pour yourself into the culture and chaos of a night market in Thailand. Seize the sale. Book in store and online at Virgin Atlantic Holidays. Selected travel dates apply. For T's and C's, visit virginatlantic.com/terms.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. For fuss-free pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
8:33. If you have a child with SEN, special educational needs or disabilities, how about getting £5,000 a year? But you must take the child to school. I'll have more on that with a senior Lib Dem in a moment. But let's get to calls regarding another political party, Reform UK, and another political party, Labour's view that the leader, at least, is a fascist. Jack in Twickenham. Jack, morning.
Nick.
Hello.
Why are the people in this country so gullible?
Why are people in this country so gullible, did you say?
Yes.
Okay, in what way do you think they are gullible, then? How does that show itself?
Well, by falling for people like Nigel Farage.
Right.
Who's just on the bandwagon to make money. He's not going to change this country. He won't do a thing for it if he wins or anything. And
I'm not saying you're wrong, but how do you know that? What makes you think this?
Because I've followed governments. I'm 87 now.
Right.
I've seen governments that come in and go.
Well, you have,
since
yes.
The war.
Yes, you have.
They've done the same thing. They won't admit they're wrong voting Tories in for 14 years. Look at the bloody mess they left.
Sir, can I ask you, who was the last politician you admired?
Wilson to a degree.
Harold Wilson?
Yes,
okay.
I know people think it's useless. He brought in the Open University and did a lot of good for the country.
Right.
He took over a country with £800 million worth of deficit from the Conservatives.
Right.
They all do. That didn't seem much now, but it was then.
Oh, no, fortunes, yes.
Everybody says... we're going to vote Labour this time, and when they get in, they want a change that week.
All right, lastly, Jack, respecting the years that you have been voting and you've been watching governments come and go, so respectful of that, are you surprised with Sir Keir Starmer's government, or did you think that it was always going to, many would say it has unravelled at this stage?
Well, I know he won't be able to things won't change in the time he's been there.
Jack, great to have your perspective, the years of wisdom. Have yourself a good day out in Twickenham, 8:35. We come to other matters, and indeed a different political party, because an idea being put forward. Parents are being paid up to £5,000 a year to drive their own children. Parents would be paid, I'm sorry, up to £5,000 a year to drive their own children with SEND to schools as local authorities scramble to reduce spending on £1 million taxi contracts. Now, the number of families given money to arrange their child's transport has doubled in just 3 years. 99% between 2021 and last year. That's 4 years, actually, isn't it, if they've written that correctly? So says the LGA, the Local Government Association. Some councils paying parents as much as 70 pence per mile. That's 25 pence more than employees can claim for work travel. This was a report in yesterday's Sunday Times. It's all part of what's called the Education Act. To Councillor Amanda Hopgood, who's Liberal Democrat councillor, chairs the Local Government Association's Children, Young People and Families Committee. How does a parent, or how do parents, satisfy their local authority that they do need transport for their child or their children? Good morning, councillor.
Good morning. It's a statutory requirement that local authorities have to provide home-to-school transport for any child who has an AHCP or any child who attends special school or travels more than 3 miles.
Right. So the minute you have this EHCP, this sort of locks in, does it?
That's part of it, but it is also around the distance that you have to travel to school. So again, because special schools are in their very nature specialist,
yes,
you don't have one in every community. So people do have to travel further than 3 miles generally to get there.
How much financial pressure is this putting on local authorities, Councillor?
It's enormous, the amount of pressure that's been put on. So for one council, it's gone in 6 years from £6 million a year to £34 million, with some of the highest spending £74 million a year on home to school transport. And it generally affects the more rural councils the most, for obvious reasons.
What do you see as a possible solution?
So we're hoping, and what the Local Government Association have campaigned for and what they're hoping to see in the white paper, is a much more inclusive education system that allows for mainstream education in local areas to be inclusive, so that we don't need to have this level of transport. But that can only be achieved if it's properly financed and properly funded. And that's not just money, that's in terms of training, in terms of structure and facilities within the school as well.
What sort of conditions comprise SEND, Councillor?
So it's special educational needs and disabilities. So it could be someone who's disabled, it could be a wheelchair user, it could be non-verbal, it could be autism, ADHD, yeah. So
does it also include things such as dyspraxia and dyslexia?
Not to the extent, some of it, but not to the extent that you would get an EHCP in all cases. But that's, again, that's where we need to make sure that we have an inclusive education system so that nobody falls through the cracks.
Right. Of course, the other way of looking at it is building more schools. So it's not so far for these children to travel. Is that just ridiculously expensive?
It's very expensive. An area that I'm at, a new secondary school at the moment, is being built in excess of £40 million. So wow. It's okay. Not something that's going to happen overnight.
Okay, so let's come back to your initial thinking, which is that they try to provide more places in, let's call them regular schools, for want of a better word, or conventional schooling. Will that require additional training of teachers, or additional teachers as well?
It'll require additional teachers as well. So I know the government recently announced last week an injection of money to go into that training, which is very warmly welcomed. But we actually need bodies in there as well. So, for example, if you have a class of 30 children, you're going to need more than just one teacher in there. You right. can train them to the highest level, but they are still one person.
Councillor, thank you. Amanda Hopgood, you're Liberal Democrat Councillor. You chair the Local Government Association's Children, Young People and Families Committee. Nathaniel says parents should do it for free, as most of the kids with disabilities get a motability car, money for travel, as part of their benefits. Parents should use those benefits as it will benefit the child. Meanwhile, James says, as a parent of two SEN kids who get taxis to school, I cannot believe the amount of money our council spends on taxis. They get transport because there isn't SEN suitable school in the immediate area. But when I was a child, these children got on school buses. Where have school buses gone? If parents have to take the children to the school, to the bus stop, then so be it. On top of this, our council also pays a cleaning company to provide transport to schools. That's James, who is on the Isle of Wight. This is the amount of money we're talking about, by the way. £2.3 billion a year. £2.3 billion, averaging £8,116 per child. Although for one child, I stress one child, we've discovered that's £145,000 a year for carrying, for transporting one child to and from school. In some instances, of course, but is it wrong to suggest in any instance, well, we provided you with a special school, you've got to get your child to that school? Vic is in Cranley. Is that desperately heartless? Good morning.
Yes. It is, Nick.
We
have
spoken
before. Because it's not just about the transporting of that child to the school. The parent then has to drive herself back.
Mm-hmm.
Like my experience of this was like a 4-hour round trip.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to leave so early in the morning to get the child into school for the right time. My journey was an hour and 40 minutes. So
how many miles from your house or your home was the school?
How many miles is it?
Just rough,
I can't remember. about 60 miles each way. Yeah, so I was paid, yeah. There's no other suitable school around here. They tried to put her in a comprehensive school, a state school. It wasn't going to happen. Right. So I'd get back at lunchtime from this trek down to the school, and then I'm tired, you know. Have a catch up. I can't then go to work because half the day's gone, and I don't, you know, I feel like a zombie. And the same on a Friday, picking her up.
What are your daughter's? Do you mind asking what are your daughter's needs?
So my daughter has a speech and language need.
Right.
She has a form of cerebral palsy that affects her speech.
Right.
She has ADHD, but she's pretty kind of, you know, pretty kind of trying to be verbal and quite anxious. But she goes to this school. She's got a good routine. She now goes in a taxi because I just had to put a stop to it. I just couldn't kind of physically do it anymore because, you know, I wanted to carry on with my work. And,
yes.
Yeah, I felt at age 12, 13, she was old enough to then go in a taxi.
Okay.
And she understood about getting a taxi to school. So,
do you qualify for a Motability car?
No.
Right.
No. I mean, you know, there's discussion about Motability cars, but, you know, I think to get one of those, you have to receive the higher rate of disability living allowance on both fields. So, you know, there's lots of
your
people
drive,
who don't. Yeah.
I just looked, that was like going from London to Canterbury and back again and again.
Yeah. So I go from Cranley in Surrey down to near Hastings on the south coast, which is where her school is.
I wonder what the taxi fare is.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but then the taxis charge quite a lot because they have to provide the same service for us it's twice a week. And they obviously then have to pay for the driver's time, the driver's mileage.
Is it residential? Sorry, down in Hastings.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
right,
yeah, yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Monday to Friday, it wouldn't be, that journey would be too long in time to qualify as a suitable placement for her.
I see. All right. Good luck with her and her schooling. Vicky, thank you. Sarah, you want to talk about that, and you will after the news. Also after the news, we'll go to Spain with more details of that would appear to be horrific high-speed train derailment, the death toll standing currently at 39. And then also staying with global matters, this was President Trump speaking last week.
And I may do that for Greenland, too. I may put a tariff on countries if they don't go along with Greenland, because we need Greenland for national security, so I may do that.
Following a weekend of crisis calls between the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom and other EU EU countries separately, what should Sir Keir's response be? We'll look at that as well. It's 8:45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer will make an emergency speech at Downing Street shortly on the growing tensions over Greenland. At least 39 people have died after two high-speed trains collided in southern Spain. And the Romford MP, Andrew Rosendale, has become the second Conservative in a week to defect to Reform UK. LBC weather, cloudy, with outbreaks of rain for many, drier in central and southeastern areas, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Long delays continue on the M25 anti-clockwise from junction 30 at the A13 to 28 at the A12. It's following an accident that happened earlier, but all the lanes are now back open. The western stretch of the M25 not looking good at all clockwise between junctions 15 at the M4 and 16 at the M40. And that's because a car's broken down and one lane is closed. Also delays in Croydon, the A23 Purley Way remains closed both ways. And in Belmont, the Brighton Road, the A217 remains closed. Now these big problems for Thameslink do continue. No trains running between Cambridge and St Pancras. It's because the overnight engineering works are still taking place. And the Metropolitan Line can't run between Amersham and Chorley Wood.
This is LBC.
Wellness. What even is wellness? Cleanses, routines, regimes, biohacks, stacks, schedules, procedures, programs. I suppose so. But can it just be a cup of... Pucker Herbal Tea. Ah, pucker. Nothing beats nature.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
During the Air France rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589, from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
Big motoring world are big on value. But what does that mean for you? Well, we price check our cars every day, so we can give you the best price. Guaranteed. In fact, 95% of our cars are priced below market value. Big motoring world, we're big on value. See website for nearest store. Visit bigmotoringworld.co.uk or one of our stores for our price promise and terms and conditions.
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
That's quicker than making this brew.
And I save time by not ringing the GP practice.
When?
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So did you go to that restaurant?
It was so good.
We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature, biotiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Biotiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Biotiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see biotifulguthealth.com/radio.
Can I have your attention, please? The British Airways original sale is now on. And now
ooh, a sale. Turns out January isn't so bad after all. I could try flamenco dancing in Madrid. Cycle the streets of Amsterdam. Oh, Dad could do with a dose of culture in Venice, though. He still thinks Vivaldi's a supermarket.
Start the year flying with the British Airways original sale. Enjoy £45 fares across the UK and Europe and get up to £200 off holidays. Limited availability. Prices each way based on a return fare. Minimum spend on holiday offers. Book by 19th January. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:49, more details on that horrific train crash you've heard about in the news bulletin. We'll have that in a moment. Let's go to Sone, who's in Southwark. Sone, your view of this Sen story. Good morning. No, we've lost Sene. So we're going... Let's go to Spain. Let's get more details. As we heard on the LBC news bulletin, it is believed up to 39 people have lost their lives and many injuries. Graham Keighley, journalist based in Madrid, joins me now. Graham, thanks for coming on the line. What's the latest you can give me? Good morning.
Good morning. The latest, unfortunately, is the death toll has risen to 39. Some 152 people are injured, of which about 24 are seriously injured. The Transport Minister, Oscar Puente, has this morning said the death toll may unfortunately rise.
What do we know about the circumstances of the accident, Graham?
Right, at about 7:45 last night, a train heading from Malaga up to Madrid, high-speed train, came off the rails in the town called Adamuz near Cordoba. And at the same time, a train going south from Malaga towards the city of Huelva was heading in the other direction. They both collided. The smaller train heading towards Huelva has been more seriously damaged with higher casualties. Everyone's been removed from the train or rescued from the trains. However, the situation remains unclear as to how they are in hospital right now.
Graham, do we have any idea how fast the train might be going on that particular bit of track?
The average train speed of these high-speed trains is over 220 kilometres per hour. I can't really say for the smaller train. It's not a high-speed train.
Thanks for all the background. As and when we get more details, we'll let you know. Graham Keighley, thank you, journalist based in Madrid, giving us an update on that. If that train was clattering at 220 miles an hour, hitting the other, my God. We will update you, as I say, as more comes in. Right, let's try again. Sone in Southwark. Hopefully, can you hear me this time?
I can. I'm
hello.
So sorry.
Don't be silly. No, these things happen. Don't be ridiculous. Sone, you want to talk about this Sen story, and you've got some details for us. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I
I run an organisation. I was an assistant principal. I did a law degree, and then I was a SENCO as well, and I was an assistant principal in secondary schools. Yes, so I have a vast array of understanding experience, plus I am a parent of two SEN children as well, and I have ADHD myself.
Right.
I work with families on a daily basis, supporting with tribunals and getting local authorities to, you know, take the responsibilities that they should do. There are, I don't want to go into it too much, and you can ask me and we can see how far we can go with it, but... Okay. I call this, I've just written a paper that I've sent to Minister Gould because I attended one of the SEN engagements that they're currently doing. And there was nothing new that came out of this when we're thinking about the new white paper, because obviously we know that the costs are rapidly rising and we have a huge issue and a deficit pot. But the issue is not SEN children. The issue is that we've got this middle category of SEN children, what I would call neurotypical presenting children, autism and ADHD, who have high cognitive abilities but can't cope in the high arousal mainstream schools. Mm-hmm. Very few local authorities have secondary schools that offer GCSEs. And so it's not through parents' choice that they want to go to these private schools. It's because the local authorities are failing time and time again to offer low arousal SEN schools for high functioning, high cognitive ability children, or they just don't believe that any SEN child is capable of achieving a GCSE.
What needs to change?
We need to offer provision for children who are of high ability, low arousal, what we call a positive behaviour solution approach. There's no detention, there's no shouting, there's no punishment. Everything is discussed for emotional basis. I've run an alternative provision doing this and we had a really high success of it. All of our children who are what we call school refusers or school avoiders ended up back in school and were able to cope after they had an intensive program of this. If local authorities don't do this, nobody chooses to send their child miles away to school and put them in a taxi where they're nowhere near home. It is because there is nothing there.
A child with SEND, what does he, she experience if they use, I'm going to call regular transport, public transport, gets on a bus, whatever it might be?
Okay, I'll give you a typical example. My 15-year-old daughter, who's at a school in Westminster, because I live in Southwark, this morning she had a complete breakdown. And by the way, she's in quite, you know, high set. She's doing well. But every morning we have a battle. Mummy, please, I hate it. Mummy, I can't cope. The pressure of it. Mummy, my belly hurts. Mummy, please. So this morning we had to get up and take her to school. Now, I have had to leave my job as an assistant principal because my child suffered through the system and I couldn't commit the hours that I needed to be a SENCO and assistant principal and a SEN parent. So I gave up work and now I run this, but I work it around my children's needs. If I didn't do that, I would have sent my child to school today completely dysregulated. And I suppose after years and years of doing that, one might just say, actually, I'll just give up. I'm not going to argue with her anymore. She's devastated. And that's how we see children become school avoiders.
Do you think, with lastly, the experience you have, is there a level of abuse of the scheme?
Absolutely not. The law is the law. Nobody chooses this stuff. And I'll give you two facts, statistics that I think are really key to this, okay?
One child, £145,000 a year?
In 23-24 and in 22-23, the tribunals heard over £99 million on both years consecutively of appeals from parents. Guess how many appeals the local authorities won?
5%.
2%. And that is because local authorities have a flagrant disregard for what the law states. And until they do better and build schools that are capable to cope with high academic children who have low abilities, and by the way, Nick, the figure that we have, the statistic of 30% of adults with autism working, feeds right into this.
All right. I must go to get other people involved. Thank you, Sonny. £145,000. And of course, I said £3,000 a week. The children aren't at school every week. It was about 13 weeks off, isn't it? I think so. That's 40. I mean, that's a vast amount. Sarah's in Worcester. Sarah on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning. It's probably going to be an unpopular opinion, but it's motability cars for me. Mm. I just think there's got to be something that if you're within a reasonable range and you have a motability car, you must take your kid to school themselves. You know, it's, I know there's a contribution for motor ability cars, I'm not saying that, but, you know, they're all under 3-year-old, they're all like a newish car.
If you look at the case of Vicky, though, who does not have a motor ability car, but she's doing, effectively she's driving from London to Canterbury, she's doing 60 miles there and 60 miles back, that's a heck of a drive for them, isn't it?
It is, and that's, you know, this is what I say, it's like an unpopular opinion, and it's got to be one or the other, and in her case, that's great. She hasn't got the motability car and is still taking, you know, taking her to, yeah. So it's one or the other. And I work for a company, I work for motability as well. And the amount of people that I get, you know, I rang an old lady once and said, can you book your motability car? And she said, oh, my granddaughter's got it. And she's in a different like town. And it's just like, you know, there has to. Yeah, I know, it happens all the time. I book people in for their services and through Motability, and it doesn't always ring true.
Grateful for your input on that, Sarah. Only finishing because I've got about a minute and a bit. Thank you, Sarah. I want to go back to the conversation we were having about Reform UK. Lisa Nandy's view that the leader, the party leader, is a fascist. Joe's in Tooting. A lot of people talking about a current political desert. Do you subscribe to that view yourself? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Hope you're okay.
Yes,
I don't. I don't think we've actually had so much choice in our history. I've been voting for the last 40-odd years, and I've never seen... We've got more parties on the left than we've ever had. We've got more parties on the right than we've ever had. I think what people are actually lamenting is the fact that the mainstream parties no longer feel that they represent them, and they feel disenfranchised from the mainstream parties, but the range of people you can vote for now is more than ever. And I think the problem we've also got is our electoral system, because our electoral system makes it first past the post.
Yeah.
People feel that if they do vote for, you know, the person they want to vote for, they just wasted their vote because that person's not going to get in. They've lost their representation, so therefore they feel that it's no longer for them. But it's not a case that we don't have that choice. It's a case that we need to reform our electoral system to reflect the fact that we don't longer have a two-party system set up.
What would you do? Would you go for what's called PR, proportional representation? What would you go for, Joe?
I watched what's happened in Germany in places that with proportional representation. There seems to be a total paralysis in the government when these things take place. But really and truly, Nick, I don't see there's any really other option, or people will feel disenfranchised. I don't care for Nigel Farage. I think that his views are his views, but he's the most successful politician I have known in my lifetime. He's got through everything that he's set up. He's got all his goals.
It is incredible, Joe, as you say. The music means we must move on. We're going to hear, thank you, Joe. Really interesting take, actually, on the different parties. But talking about senior politicians.
In just a few minutes, the Prime Minister will respond again to President Trump's threats to put tariffs on the UK if the UK continues to oppose Trump's takeover of Greenland. I'm LBC's Aggie Chambray with the latest.
And also in the next hour, I'll see you in court. What links Prince Harry with Elton John, Doreen Lawrence, the mother of the son who was murdered in a racist attack, former Lib Dem politician Simon Hughes, and Liz Hurley and Sadie Frost? Well, they're all taking on the Daily Mail Group in court, and you'll have more details on that as well in this hour. But the 9 o'clock news on LBC is next.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, Sir Keir Starmer will make an emergency speech at Downing Street shortly on the growing tensions over Greenland. President Trump has threatened tariffs on 8 European allies, opposing his efforts to take over the territory. Number 10 says Sir Keir Starmer told Mr. Trump during a phone call that the threat is wrong. Speaking to Nick, the senior Conservative MP Simon Hoare has called it a classic tactic of a bully.
I think he just works on the basis that, you know, he's the big I am. He is the president of the leading superpower globally, that everybody will just be so fearful that they will do whatever he wants. Now, there is clearly breaking voices in his own party. Congress needs to sort of muscle up and try to rein him in.
And you can hear the Prime Minister's speech live on LBC in the next few minutes. Two high-speed trains have crashed in southern Spain, killing at least 39 people. Dozens more were injured in the collision in the Andalusia region last night. Graham Keeley is a freelance journalist based in Madrid and is following developments for LBC.
At about 7:45 last night, a train heading from Malaga up to Madrid came off the rails in a town called Adamuz,
near Cordoba, and at the same time, a train going south from Malaga was heading in the other direction. They both collided. The smaller train heading towards Huelva has been more seriously damaged with higher casualties.
The Romford MP, Andrew Rossendale, has become the second Conservative MP in a week to defect to Reform UK. The former Shadow Minister says he's putting country before party. A Conservative Party source says Reform are welcome to him. Legal action by Prince Harry and several other high-profile figures against the Daily Mail's publisher is set to begin at the High Court. Associated Newspapers denies claims of unlawful information gathering. And Home Office figures show 317 migrants were brought to Dover on Saturday after crossing the Channel in small boats. It's the third day this year that people have made the journey. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 10 at 10,223. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.15. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many today. Drier for central and southeastern areas with a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
I'm here with Charlie Bigham. What's cooking, Charlie?
My classic fish pie. Made with succulent salmon and delicately smoked haddock, smothered with bechamel and parsley sauce, and all topped off with the richest, butteriest mash and a golden mature cheddar topping.
You had me at succulent.
An unbeatable classic. Cheers.
Delicious. Tastes like home.
You know you don't actually live here, right?
Oh. Charlie Bigham's.
Handmade in my kitchen. Cooked in yours.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Point you 3 minutes after nine on Monday, January the 19th. All eyes on Downing Street as we wait for the Prime Minister. Probably speaking in about 10 minutes, maybe a little bit over. Expected to be what the reaction should be to President Trump's increasingly aggressive tactics of guns concerning Greenland. This follows reportedly crisis calls between the British Prime Minister, leaders of other European nations as well. We'll see what that leads to. Also, we won't just have that. We will, of course, cover other stories on the news agenda. And taking place in court today, as I said earlier, what links characters such as Elton John, Prince Harry, Liz Hurley, and the mother of Stephen Lawrence, the young man who was victim of a racial murder down in southeast London? Well, this media law consultant will explain.
Prince Harry's been suing the tabloids for the last 7 years. His biggest claim starts today in the High Court. I'm Ian Bloom, media law consultant. I'll be previewing this case with Nick later.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
As I said just a few moments ago, all eyes then on Downing Street, where we're hoping the Prime Minister will speak in around 10 minutes' time. This is obviously a response to events in and around Greenland. And I've had a quick look at some of what are called the newspaper leader columns or opinion columns, whatever. And most of them, certainly the Daily Telegraph, the Daily Mail, the Sun, are saying the Prime Minister should take a strong line. The Daily Telegraph even saying at some point you have to stand up to a bully, and in the paper's view, this is that time. Let's get Aggie Chambray, LBC's Deputy Political Editor, into the conversation. Aggie's in the studio with me. We get any sense of what we might hear?
We have got a sense of what we might hear, not least because we've heard from the Prime Minister a couple of times over the weekend, and he has gone actually further than he's ever gone with Donald Trump before in terms of criticising him, at least since he's been Prime Minister. And he has said the idea that the US would slap tariffs 10% at first on countries that don't agree with him over Denmark, of course that includes us, which will go up to 25% by 1st of June, is completely wrong. He's also said that directly to Donald Trump. So I think we can very much expect him to reiterate that today. Number 10 say he's also going to say that he will set out the UK's approach to working with its allies, including our commitment to NATO and how it will be led by our values. But this is very much an emergency press conference. He was supposed to be doing a speech in Yorkshire, actually, on the cost of living. But because of these escalating threats from Donald Trump, this instead will now take place in Downing Street, number 9 Downing Street, where I think he will reiterate what he said over the weekend. I don't think we will have his Hugh Grant Love Actually moment where he stands up and criticises Donald Trump, but he will criticise what Donald Trump is saying over Greenland. But I think so far we have seen him having this approach with Donald Trump where he's very much tried to toe the line, you know, actually be pretty close to Donald Trump and talked about how he has felt that that has given the UK rewards, both in Ukraine and also in trade deals. But I think he now feels that he needs to call out this, indeed, because he's also spoken to other countries and had calls with them, and they also have actually gone a little bit further than him, but want to critique it. But I've had conversations with people in government, with Western security officials, who basically have said how concerned they are about this, and said actually similar to what Jeremy Hunt has said on the record, but they think if Donald Trump and the US were to invade Greenland, well, that would be the end of NATO. They cannot see countries then fighting the US in Greenland, and effectively NATO then, the entire agreement just falls apart, which is an absolutely extraordinary thing to happen. And in terms of what else we'll hear from Keir Starmer in the next sort of 5-10 minutes or so, we also heard from the Culture Secretary Lisa Nandy yesterday, and she said the government had made it clear the future of Greenland was for them and Denmark to decide.
Tariffs would be a terrible thing, not just for the UK economy, but for the US economy as well. The reason that this situation has come about is because there is a serious challenge to UK security, US security and European security over in the Arctic region that is not best solved by us dividing from one another or imposing tariffs on one another.
Lisa Nandy speaking yesterday. Aggie, we're going to be speaking with someone in Greenland in a moment, Malik Dollarup Scheibel, who was part of the demonstrations. Just before we cross to Greenland, let me ask you, you get the sense, Aggie, that some European leaders, such as Meloni in Italy, Macron in France, they sort of look to Sir Keir Starmer as the bridge between Europe and the United States. Obviously, the fact we speak the same language, and Sir Keir does seem to have at least perfected a fairly good relationship in the past. Do you think that will be the sense from the EU, right, we're pretty much in lockstep with you here, Keir. You're the man who's going to try and have to talk him down effectively.
Well, that's very much what Downing Street wants Sir Keir to be seen as. They feel,
is it a fair representation in your view?
I think it is a fair representation because they feel that, you know, the coalition of the willing, for example, would not exist without the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
And they feel that European leaders do very much see that. So European leaders going a bit further than Sir Keir Starmer today, I think they will find it useful that Keir Starmer is also calling out Donald Trump. But I think they do see him as the bridge, whether or not he can continue to be the bridge while he's having one step into criticising Donald Trump's actions and one step into, and I think we will see this, not criticising Donald Trump and very much trying to stay on side with him, whether or not he's able to remain the bridge. Probably, but let's see.
All right, Aggie, stay in the studio with me if you would. Aggie Chambray, LBC's Deputy Political Editor, reporting, because we can go to Greenland now and bring to the conversation Malik Dollarup Scheibel, who is a Greenlander. Thank you very much for coming on, sir. You're wearing a baseball cap, and it says NU, new word, DET, NU, UK. I hope this isn't something I'm going to regret ever asking for, but what does... Because that could be the end of quite a long broadcasting career. But, Malik, if I may call you that, can I ask, what is the slogan on your baseball cap, sir?
Well, it says Nuttenuk, and it's a funny way to say now is enough, because in Danish it sounds like the two words.
Okay. So tell me the feeling, yes, on the weekend, and I understand you took part in a demonstration, Malik.
Yeah. So, the feeling was quite extraordinary, being one of the many thousands that demonstrated, both in multiple cities in Greenland, but also multiple cities in Denmark, to show that Greenland is not for sale and has never been. And it should be a big saying that there were so many thousands of people going out on the streets and saying that. And so it was quite extraordinary and quite a great feeling to see how patriotic and sound alike people were in Nuuk.
How many people do you think took part in the demonstration, Malik?
Well, the numbers have been up to around 4,000, but I believe there has been more than 4,000 people. And since we are a city of 20,000, that means that around a quarter of the city were out in the streets.
What are your main concerns, you and the demonstrators, what are their main concerns?
Well, Trump's threats have just kept us being very scared for the last few days, and has actually, I would say, has actually impacted our daily lives with being sleep deprived and having nausea and just being so scared that people actually have paranoia of what could happen. And also the many political views from the different parts of the world saying this, saying that. And then we're just trying to say we just want peace. We want to live our lives without being scared of being somewhat invaded or trying to be bought.
Of course you do. Malik, for other Greenlanders, do you look to the British Prime Minister because of the relationship between the two countries? Do you look to NATO? Do you look to the European Union? Which is the key body or key person who can help and assist you most, would you say?
That's a big ask, because right now we're just hoping that the European countries will come together and try to push back on Trump's rhetoric, because that's probably the biggest way to stop his trying of getting Greenland. But we have, it's a hard thing to say, because Trump, he is a big guy and he has a big power at the moment.
He has a big power. Of course, he has bases already in your country. Yeah. He has military bases. Are people warm towards the US military personnel? Does everyone get on? Is there now a degree of hostility or a degree of anger towards the US military who are in your country?
Well, we have one military base up at the northern part of Greenland, and that's the only American base. Then they have some military personnel in the bases that we already have, but there has not been so many American soldiers around, so...
Yeah. And when it comes to President Trump's ambitions, lastly, Malik, he talks about how important strategically your country is, how significant, because you where you are geographically, and he talks about the threat of Russia, or even the threat of China coming in and investing and whatever. When you speak with fellow Greenlanders... Are you concerned about that? Are you aware of your strategic significance? How would you respond to that, which would be one of Trump's main claims?
Well, we understand we are a big strategic place, yeah. But we have not seen Russian or Chinese ships up here, so that part he is somewhat lying about. There could be threats that we are willing to help. They have every right to put more military bases. They had at 1.18 bases with 20,000 soldiers. Now they have one with 115 soldiers. So that just shows that they also went back, and now they are putting all the burden on Denmark for their military presence up here, which they still have. They have multiple ships. They have acquired planes for surveillance, and they have more than two dogsleds in northeastern part of Greenland that does sovereignty defense.
Yes.
So they have more military presence than people actually might think.
All right. Malik, are you intending to watch the British Prime Minister's speech or listen to the British Prime Minister's speech now, or are you a busy man?
Well, I'm going to school in half hour, so...
Okay. I was going to say we'll call you back to see what you make. Well, let's see what the timing is. I don't want to keep you away from school or college. So, Malik, thank you. We might talk to you again. If you're on your way to your studies, I fully understand. So let me thank you in case. I'd love to hear from you what you make of it. Malik Dollarup Scheibel, who is a Greenlander who was part of that demonstration. Right, we might talk to him definitely. You will be hearing from the Prime Minister. We're going to try and fit in a news break ahead of it, but don't worry. If we go to Downing Street, you will not miss a word. 9:15, let's try the LBC News headlines then. Dominic Ellis.
The Prime Minister will speak from Downing Street shortly on the growing tensions over Greenland. Two high-speed trains have crashed in southern Spain, killing at least 39 people. And legal action by Prince Harry and several other high-profile figures against the Daily Mail's publisher is set to start at the High Court. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many, drier for central and south-eastern areas, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb in Wandsworth. The A3 is closed in both directions. It's because of an accident and there are queues in the area. Very busy on the western stretch of the M25 clockwise between junctions 15 at the M4 and 16 at the M40, and that's because a car has broken down. Very busy over Vauxhall Bridge northbound, where a car broke down earlier, and the North Circular Road slow southbound to the M11 junction, and that's following an accident. On the trains, Thameslink services still can't run between connecting Cambridge and St Pancras is because the overnight engineering works are still taking place. Also on the Metropolitan line, there's no service between Amersham and Chalfont and Latimer.
This is LBC.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be inside a bowl of Heinz soup? Floating on a blanket of thick tomatoey goodness. The aromas tickling your nostrils. A crispy little human crouton drifting off, getting lost in the soup. Bathe in comfort. It has to be Heinz.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973 LBC.
During the Air France Rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589, from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
Sunlight's guaranteed over 50 plan gave confidence to Jane and Chris. With their insurance sorted, they're becoming naturists. Cutting loose in their birthday suits, feeling elegant and free. But when they answered the door, the postman saw more than he expected to see. Sunlight, a little confidence goes a long way. No medical questions and a cash payout. Search Sunlight cover today.
Premiums paid could exceed the payout. Full cover after 1 year. Ages 49 to 85.
There's one green bottle sat on my fridge shelf. This green and white bottle that supports my gut health. Beautiful by nature and beautiful by name. It's the tastiest way to up my gut health game.
Beautiful Gut Health. Upgrade your yogurt to the UK's number one kefir and reset your gut health with Beautiful. Kefir is a source of calcium which contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes. For verification of UK's number one kefir, see beautifulgutthealth.com/radio.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
Waiting for the Prime Minister to start speaking in Downing Street. If you'll allow me, people calling through, Tony and others, please understand, I do want to hear what you want to say, but I don't. It's very rude to start a conversation with you and then effectively slam the phone down when you need to go. Let's see how we go. We might take your calls, but there's a couple of elements I want to pursue with Aggie Chambray, who's LBC's Deputy Political Editor and in the studio with me. We probably didn't touch enough on NATO in our conversation, because, of course, Mark Rutte, the former Prime Minister, is the Secretary General or Director or whatever he is of NATO. I read that he's a supremely skilled diplomat as well. We might need some of his services here as well. Aggie?
I think that's absolutely right. So we've got Mark Rutte there, who I think will very much be at the heart of these negotiations. And I think it's worth noting, I said it to you a couple of minutes ago, but I have been, you know, told by people within government who basically worry that if there is an invasion of Greenland, if this does really escalate even further than it has at the moment, that could very well be the end of NATO, because there is concern that basically NATO countries would not then want to fight the US, and basically the agreement, the NATO agreement that's been so sacred to so many countries for so long, would effectively just fall apart. Now, one note that somebody did point out to me was that two of the most senior people in NATO at the moment are actually Americans. Ah. And they said that did give them some pause for thought, that made them feel slightly more comfortable about the whole thing, because they thought that those two very, very senior people, very, very experienced military commanders, who are both American and also in charge of
and
NATO.
Trump normally likes a military bloke. Normally. Do we know if there's any history between Trump and these two?
We don't know if there's any history between them. But as you say, we hope that, or at least people in government, hope that
they'll
be... I think
we're crossing to 10 minutes. It's been markedly more turbulent in recent weeks. Events are moving fast. And in moments like this, what matters most is being clear about the values and the interests that guide us, even as circumstances change. The United Kingdom has a long history. Our values were not improvised. They were built patiently over time. And while we are pragmatic in how we pursue our interests, we are resolute in defending those values when it matters. So let me begin with the United States. The UK and the US are close allies and close partners. That relationship matters profoundly, not just to our security, but to the prosperity and the stability that people here depend upon. Under President Trump, as under previous presidents, we're determined to keep that relationship strong, constructive, and focused on results. And that approach is delivering. Through sustained engagement, we've seen significant US investment into the UK economy, running into hundreds of billions of pounds, supporting growth, skills, and jobs right across the country. Our cooperation on defence, nuclear capability, and intelligence remains as close and effective as anywhere in the world, keeping Britain safe in an increasingly dangerous environment. We've secured good trading terms in key sectors, including cars, steel, aerospace, and life sciences, protecting British jobs and manufacturers. That is why we take the approach that we do, because it delivers concrete outcomes in the national interest. I talk regularly to President Trump, and my team is in daily contact with all the key figures in his administration. These relationships matter. They deliver concrete outcomes in the national interest. Mature alliances are not about pretending differences don't exist. They are about addressing them directly, respectfully, and with a focus on results. On Greenland, the right way to approach an issue of this seriousness is through calm discussion between allies. And let's be clear, the security of Greenland matters. And it will matter more as climate change reshapes the Arctic, as sea routes open and strategic competition intensifies. The High North will require greater attention, greater investment, and stronger collective defence. The United States will be central to that effort, and the UK stands ready to contribute fully alongside our allies through NATO. But there is a principle here that cannot be set aside, because it goes to the heart of how stable and trusted international cooperation works. And so any decision about the future status of Greenland belongs to the people of Greenland and the Kingdom of Denmark alone. That right is fundamental, and we support it. Denmark is a close ally of the United Kingdom and of the United States, a proud NATO member that has stood shoulder to shoulder with us, including at real human cost in recent decades. Alliances endure because they're built on respect and partnership, not pressure. That is why I said the use of tariffs against allies is completely wrong. It is not the right way to resolve differences within an alliance. Nor is it helpful to frame efforts to strengthen Greenland's security as a justification for economic pressure. Such measures hurt British workers, British businesses, and the British economy. And that is why I've been so clear on this issue. A trade war is in no one's interest. And my job is always to act in the UK's national interest. That is why yesterday I spoke to President Trump, to European leaders, and to the Secretary General of NATO to find a solution rooted in partnership, facts, and mutual respect, because that is how strong alliances protect shared interests. The same is true on other issues. In the Middle East, we welcome President Trump's focus on sustaining the ceasefire in Gaza and moving on to phase two. We are open to participating constructively in such efforts. On Ukraine, I can be brief. we strongly support efforts to bring the killing to an end and secure a ceasefire as soon as possible. We recognise President Trump's role in pushing that process forward. And we will work closely with the United States, Ukraine and our other allies to apply pressure where it belongs on Putin. Finally, let me say why all this matters so directly to people here at home. In today's world, geopolitics is not something that happens somewhere else. It shapes the cost of energy, the price of food, the security of jobs, and the stability that families rely on to plan their lives. When war drives up fuel prices, it's households who feel it first. When supply chains fracture, it's small businesses and working people who absorb the shock. And when instability grows, it's rarely those with the most power who pay the price. That is why this government's approach is rooted in a simple belief that we must use every tool of government, domestic and international, to fight for the interests of ordinary people. At home, that means active government. It means taking responsibility for economic stability so that inflation is controlled, interest rates come down, and family budgets are protected. It means stepping in where markets fail, strengthening resilience, and ensuring that global shocks do not always land on the same people in the same places, the people least able to withstand them. That's why we've taken action to reduce energy bills, to freeze rail fares and prescription charges. But tackling the cost of living today also means engagement beyond our borders. It requires shaping the world around us, not retreating from it. It requires strong alliances, steady diplomacy, and rules that reduce uncertainty rather than amplify it. That is why our commitment to international law and to alliances founded on trust is not abstract or ideological. It's practical. It's about stability, predictability, and fairness. The conditions that keep prices down, jobs secure, and economies resilient. That is what active government looks like in an age of uncertainty. Steady at home, engaged abroad, and always focused on protecting the people that we serve. Britain is a pragmatic country. We look for agreement. We believe in partnership. We prefer solutions to slogans. And we will not indulge in commentary and gesture politics that harm the British people. But being pragmatic does not mean being passive. And partnership does not mean abandoning principle. That is why it's important to be clear about who we stand with, what we stand for, and where our interests lie. Now, this is a moment for the whole country to pull together. So I warmly welcome the support we've had with regards to Greenland and the proposed tariffs from the leader of the opposition. I thank her for her support. At moments like this, there will always be people who reach for the performative, who think an angry social media post or grandstanding is a substitute for hard work. That's an understandable instinct, but it's not effective. It never has been. It may make politicians feel good, but it does nothing for working people whose jobs, livelihoods and security rely on the relationships that we build across the world. So to conclude, we will work with our allies in Europe, across NATO and with the United States. We will keep dialogue open. We will defend international law. And we will use the full strength of government at home and abroad to protect the security, living standards and future of the British people. That is the approach I will take as Prime Minister. And that is the responsibility that this moment demands. Thank you. I'm now going to take some questions, and I've got a fairly extensive list, you'll be pleased to know. I'm going to start, Chris, with Chris Mason from BBC News.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Chris Mason, BBC News. This is clearly incredibly difficult. What more in specific terms can you tell us about what you plan to do now? It appears that you're ruling out retaliatory tariffs in the UK. Can you confirm that? And would you consider going to see President Trump face-to-face this week? Thank you.
Well, what I'm going to do now is to focus on our national interest and be absolutely clear that that requires us to be clear about the principles that we apply to a situation like this, in particular that the future of Greenland is for Greenland and the Denmark kingdom, and that tariffs should not be used against allies in this way. In relation to the escalation, look, a tariff war is in nobody's interests, and we have not got to that stage, and my focus, therefore, is making sure we don't get to that stage, and that's what I'm doing at the moment. Thank you, Chris. Beth, can I come to you?
Thank you. Prime Minister, many people watching this at home will have been shocked and angry over the weekend that our so-called closest ally is threatening us if we try to stop him illegally annexing Greenland. Is this the most serious crisis in the transatlantic relationship in decades? And how can the US remain our closest ally when it's bullying us like this? And just on tariffs, you say they are completely wrong and it will hurt the British economy. But if Trump does go ahead, to be clear, are you telling the British people that we will have to take that economic pain? And are you planning retaliatory tariffs if that happens?
Thank you, Beth. And firstly, to underscore your point, this has been very badly received across the United Kingdom. We're allies of the United States, and we work closely with them. And therefore, I'm not surprised by the reaction that's been across the United Kingdom. And it is a very serious situation. Our job is to ensure that we find a way forward consistent with our principles and our values and consistent with our national interest. And the US remains a close ally on defence, on security and on intelligence, on nuclear capability. We work very closely with the United States, and we must never lose sight of our national interest in that. But we must stand up for our values. We must be clear about the principles that we are applying here, and we'll continue to do so. On the question of tariffs, a tariff war isn't in anybody's interests, and therefore what I want to do is to avoid a tariff war, because it will be businesses, workers and families across the country that will be hit by a trade war, and therefore I will do as I've set out, which is to engage with our European allies, with President Trump. And Chris, in response to the second part of your question, I spoke to President Trump yesterday, as I think you all know, and I'll no doubt speak to him again in coming days. Continually, our offices talk all the time, but we must find a pragmatic, sensible, sustained way through this that avoids some of the consequences that will be very serious for our country. Thank you very much, Beth. Robert Peston.
All right, you're listening to LBC 9.35. I will recap briefly what you heard from the Prime Minister, and most importantly, of course, then get your reaction with the stance taken on the US involvement or potential involvement in Greenland. You're listening to LBC Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari. 9.35, news headlines. Dominic Ellis.
The Prime Minister has called for calm discussions as tensions continue to grow over the future of Greenland.
The use of tariffs against allies is completely wrong. It is not the right to resolve differences within an alliance. Nor is it helpful to frame efforts to strengthen Greenland's security as a justification for economic pressure.
Sir Keir Starmer has just made an emergency speech at Downing Street. It's after President Trump threatened tariffs on eight European allies opposing his efforts to take over the territory. Sir Keir has reiterated that dialogue will be kept open with the US and other EU countries on the matter. Do stay with LBC for the latest throughout the day. In other news this morning, two high-speed trains have crashed in southern Spain, killing at least 39 people. Dozens more were injured in the collision in the region last night. And legal action by Prince Harry and several other high-profile figures against the Daily Mail's publisher is set to begin at the High Court today. Associated Newspapers denies claims of unlawful information gathering. LBC weather, cloudy without breaks of rain for many today, drier for central and southeastern areas with a high of 11 degrees.
This is LBC.
Hiya, Kenny the hamster here, proud pet of Doug and Carol. Hey up, looks like my mum Carol's off out with the girls again. I tell you, since she took that quick NHS Healthy Choices quiz, she's drinking less, but going out more. And to think, she thought being healthy would mean being boring. You might want to give it a go yourself. Go, girlfriend!
Take your first little step to healthy. Search NHS Healthy Choices quiz to get a score and a simple plan to follow.
At Pets in a Pickle, we know what it's like welcoming a new pet into the family. Whether it's a curious kitten or a wobbly-legged puppy, they're cute, they're chaos, and sometimes they get themselves into a pickle. That's why we offer fuss-free pet insurance policies with unlimited video call access with First Vet. So the only thing you have to worry about is keeping them away from your favourite vase. For pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk.
Now, let me ask y'all a question. Are you ready to ditch the crowds and the cookie-cutter holidays? I'm talking quiet mornings spent by crystal-clear lakes, cruising across the vast landscapes of Canada and the U.S. at a leisurely pace, stopping at charming towns and saying howdy. Go deeper with littleamerica.co.uk.
Lost World Play Barn, Dragon Castle Children's Farm, Jumping Pillows, Wallabies, Froggy Soft Play. Tommy Tractor Play Barn, Quaterpillar Rowing Boats, Owl Displays, Meerkats, Honey Pot Bears. And four giant slides on the brand new Wave Runner 2. Let's plunge!
What's next, Dad?
Cannon Arena Lemurs, Jungle Kingdom Go-Karts, Trampolines, Magical Wood and Cafes.
Nutcatch Adventure Park. The sun goes on and on and on and on. Book now at nutcatch.com.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Your reaction to that speech in a moment. Tony, you'll be the first caller. And Daniel, just very briefly, the Prime Minister was talking about how the UK has a long history where values have not been improvised but built over time. He talked about the strong alliance between the UK and the US, a closer alliance, a relationship that's been both strong and productive. And it is approach, and that approach is delivering with growth skills across the country. And it said it is keeping Britain safe in an increasingly dangerous environment. He talked about how mature alliances are not about pretending differences do not exist. And the way to approach that is through calm discussion. He talked about how the security of Greenland matters and how what's called the High North, which comprises Greenland, is going to require greater investment and greater attention. The UK stands ready to commit fully, he said. Any decision about the future of Greenland, about Greenland, has to be for the people of Greenland and for Denmark alone. Alliances do endure. But on the subject of tariffs, he said it simply is completely wrong, his words directly. His trade war, he said, is of no one interest. Solutions are rooted in partnerships, facts and mutual respect. Pragmatic countries, they look for agreement, not being passive. That's broadly outlining what we heard. And here's the two sides of it. Greg in Harlow, what a speech from Starmer. Roll over and let Trump tickle your tummy. Spineless. Meanwhile, George Thomas, solid statement. Well said, unbending, but diplomatic, quite correct. A superb job. Tony's in Willesden Green. Which is it for you, Tony? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Completely toothless speech.
Okay. What did you want him to say then?
Well, I wanted him to say that he will reciprocate with tariffs, or bring the rest of the NATO members together and threaten the US with potential economic sanctions, or talk about their treasury bonds, because you can't stand up to a bully like that with you know, just talking about calm discussions. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Do you want a trade war? Do you not agree no one actually wins a trade war? Or do you think...
I agree that people don't win a trade war, but right. It's like being threatened with you know, armed conflict and saying, well, let's have a chat about it. You know, you've got to show strength in as much as you can reciprocate. I mean, we've seen Trump act in this way with other tariffs, and really he just wants to bring people to the table to have a deal. But there's nothing that says why. It's only his words saying that Greenland is important to take over by the Americans. I mean, you had the Greenlander guy just before on the radio saying they haven't seen any Chinese or Russian ships in the area. I'm not saying they don't exist, but the Greenlanders have been very open about saying expand your bases. Mm-hmm. All he's trying to do is expand territory and go down in history for expanding the size of the U.S. I can see the security concern, but that doesn't, you know, he can do that simply by expanding his base and not taking over a sovereign country.
Not approval from Tony. Thank you for holding on the line, Tony. You're the first reaction on the phones. Let's get a second. Daniel in Benfleet. Pretty poor rating there from Tony. What about you, Daniel? Good morning.
Hi, Nick. Good morning. I just wanted to raise a point that the stance is from a security angle on annexing Greenland, but no one's mentioning it's one of the largest deposits of rare metals used in the tech industry. Mm. And the Prime Minister's talking about growth. If America were to own that territory, how would we stand with that?
So what did you think Sakir should have addressed that then? Is that what you're saying, just to clarify?
Well, it would be a land grab, and it's very, very valuable for the rare metals. I mean, that would affect markets globally.
Again, so what should, how should the Prime Minister have addressed that? Or should he have spelt that out? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I see.
So spell out, look, this isn't about to geographic strategic, this is a land grab, is what you wanted to hear.
Yes.
I see. Okay, Daniel, so again, you'd say he's not gone far enough. Okay, the early reviews are in, and they're not that favourable. Graham in Newark. Graham, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, but what I want to say is that we are America's greatest ally and friend for many years. Mm-hmm. If America treats us like that, it's a huge implication on the rest of the world. It says that America treats every other country like a competitive business. Mm-hmm. And there is no friendship and there is no genuine trust. I think that's absolutely huge, beyond our country, for the whole of the rest of the world.
Did you get the sense that Sir Keir Starmer signified that in the speech he's just given?
No, I just think he was doing an entirely predictable speech, desperately trying to sound statesmanlike, really.
Okay. Therefore, I have to ask you, what did you want to hear?
Well, what I wanted to hear is a clear thing about saying this is a fracture of a trusted friendship when a friend becomes not a friend, and that, of course, we would have to respond in like manner for our own wealth and security. Okay. Because otherwise, he just, you know, what you find with a bully, it's the same as a playground, isn't it? If a bullies understand power very, very, very well, and the more that you give them, the more they take. It's from the playground upwards, all through life, in my opinion.
Lastly, Graham, I know you're in Newark. Are you someone who is in Robert Jenrick's constituency, or are you in a different part of the town?
No, we are. Yes, I am in Robert Jenrick's constituency.
I've got to ask you a question. Now that Mr. Jenrick has decided to join Reform UK, as and when the next general election comes about, who would you vote for?
I'd vote for a politician that genuinely can get us to see our GPs.
Right.
Basically. Because GPs are just 1-1-1. That's
okay. So would that be Mr. Jenrick or not?
Do you know, I don't really know. You know, he might grandstand, or he might actually be effective. Of course, the thing about Newark, well, like any constituency, is us that vote for our MPs. So our MPs need to in some way represent the people of their constituencies.
And did he do that by leaving Conservatives?
I don't really know.
All right. We'll have to see when it rolls around in a few years' time. Great. Thank you for that. We'll have more reactions then coming up after the news. I'll see you in court.
Prince Harry's been suing the tabloids for the last 7 years. His biggest claim starts today in the High Court. I'm Ian Bloom, media law consultant. I'll be previewing this case with Nick later.
We'll take that. And, of course, more of your reactions to that speech as well. 9.46, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Sakir Starmer has called for calm discussions as tensions continue to grow over the future of Greenland. Two high-speed trains have crashed in southern Spain, killing at least 39 people. And legal action by Prince Harry and several other high-profile figures against the Daily Mail's publisher is set to start at the High Court. LBC weather, cloudy without breaks of rain for many, drier for central and southeastern areas, a high of 11 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Delays continue on the M25 anti-clockwise heading towards Junction 2 at the A2. It's because of an accident that's happened on the entry slip road, and the entry slip road is therefore closed and the queues back onto the A2 from the Bean interchange. Also on the M25, on the western stretch, it's very busy at Junction 15 at the M4, but all the lanes are now back open. In Wandsworth, the A3 remains closed both ways after an accident, and the North Circular Road very slow southbound to the M11 junction, and that's also after an accident. On the trains, where these problems for Thames Link do continue, they can't run between St Pancras and Blackfriars, and that's because a train broke down earlier.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
Well, what a surprise. It turns out the only person with Trump derangement syndrome was Donald Trump all along, and Prince Harry's latest battle, why you should want him to win.
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
So scandalous. You, yeah, you. When life gets a little too lifey, why not line it up with Muller Lights? So go on, reach into that fridge, rip that lid off, and spoon it like nobody's watching. There's the fruit-delicious raspberry and cranberry, zesty Greek-style lemon, or the tasty new tiramisu flavour. Ooh, but where to start? Eeny, meeny, miny, yum. Muller Lights, get the good going.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
During the Air France rendezvous, take advantage of great offers. Until the 27th of January, book your flight to Dubai from £399 or Hong Kong from £589, from London Heathrow via Paris, return including tax. And from the 29th of March, you can reach Paris and beyond with our new flights from London Gatwick. Elegance is a journey. Air France. To book and for terms and conditions, visit airfrance.co.uk.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Oh, look at you. That's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison. And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done, you should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job, done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Unfold a world of on-the-go entertainment with the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 7. The massive 8-inch main screen means you'll see the bigger picture as every exciting moment unfolds. Share every highlight and keep the whole family entertained wherever you go. Buy yours now and claim £300 cashback. Conveniently available to spend in your Samsung wallet. Purchase before January 29th from a participating retailer. Claim on the Samsung website within 30 days of purchase. T's and C's apply.
Simone combined her old pensions with Pension B.
So I had multiple pensions from various jobs that I have been in, and every 6 months or so I would receive a statement, and I was losing track of all my different pensions and all the different statements. I just wanted one easy way of keeping them all in one place.
At Pension B, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to pensionb.com and be pension confident. When investing, your capital is at risk.
With Little Plus, you can hit your January health goals with 20% off all grapes and up to 20% off selected gut health products, including your favourite brands like Actimel and Activia. Open the Little Plus app to start saving. Little, more to value. Limited offer while stocks last. Little Plus T's and C's apply. 18 plus GB only. Offer ends 28th of the 1st. Calcium contributes to the normal function of digestive enzymes.
If you were missold a home on a holiday park, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive compensation. Text ADVICE to 78900.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Okay, well, all eyes have been on Downing Street, and we will continue with your reaction to what you heard from the Prime Minister in a moment, but all eyes now to Court 76 of the High Court in London, where Prince Harry's legal war with the Daily Mail, one of British media's most formidable forces, well, it finally comes to reality. Ian Bloom, media law consultant, joins me now. A little bit of background and what we might look at over the coming days, weeks, months, years, whatever it might be, and good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Well, the end game has, as you say, finally arrived. Prince Harry has reached the finale of his long legal battle with the British tabloid press, which began in 2019, before COVID even, when he first took on the major newspaper groups in this country about their alleged breaches of privacy, unlawful practices, and subsequent publication of false and or illegally obtained personal stories about him. This latest action is the largest, longest, and most contested case of all of them. It opens in a few minutes' time, actually, in the High Court in London. It's listed for 10 weeks. It could cost around £40 million in legal fees alone. And as you said, there's not just Prince Harry, but several other high-profile claimants, Sir Elton John and David Furnish, the actresses Liz Hurley and Sadie Frost, Baroness Doreen Lawrence, the mother of Stephen Lawrence, and Sir Simon Hughes, a former Lib Dem politician. And the background and the context of this never changes. Alleged breaches of privacy and criminality by the paper's journalists and or investigators, resulting in exclusive tabloid stories then appearing in these papers. And as is the case here, the allegations are always very forcefully denied. But in this case, the case against the Mail Group, there are several unusual features. First, as the paper's lawyers will argue, Harry and the other claimants have delayed bringing their claims to such an extent that the statute of limitations should be called on and the claims disbarred. They've taken too long. The events that they complain about took place between 1993 and 2011, so it's some time ago, and that's why they say they brought the claims too late. If they win on that point, then the whole thing ends and the case is thrown out. But so far, the judge, the very experienced judge, Mr. Justice Nicklin, has not seemed sympathetic to that position, so we'll see. Second really odd feature is the position of a man called Gavin Burrows. Now, he was an investigator used by the papers, and initially he gave a witness statement to the claimants supporting their claim. Recently, he seems to be saying that his signature was forged and he withdraws whatever they've got. So that is going to be interesting. Third point is that some of the witnesses for the claimants have been paid. Now, it's not illegal to pay witnesses, but what it does or may do when they come to give evidence is undermine their credibility. You're only saying this because you've been paid, is the argument. And finally, we can anticipate that both Prince Harry and the legendary former editor of the Mail, Paul Dacre, will be giving evidence themselves. Harry later this week, Dacre in the weeks to come. Now, that really should be fun. So it means that after a series of delays, skirmishes, case management applications, and so on by both parties, the trial should finally start in just a few minutes' time. And Nick, I bet you, like me, can hardly wait.
Ian Bloom, thanks for such a comprehensive background. And I know we're going to be speaking over the coming days, weeks, and probably months as that case goes through. Yes, it would be. Probably get front row seats, wouldn't you, for that? Prince Harry, Paul Dacre and others in court. We'll see how it plays out. Ian Bloom, media law consultant. We've got time for at least one, perhaps two calls. John in Glasgow, let's come back to what we heard from the Prime Minister about 25 minutes or so ago. Your take on what you made of it. Morning.
Well, you asked Nick if I wanted to hear from the Prime Minister. The answer is no. Right. What I wanted him to say, nothing. I've just listened to him on BBC Radio Scotland, where they actually faded him out, the Prime Minister, mid-flow. So they obviously came to the conclusion that it wasn't worth airtime or listening to any further. This is another fine mess he's got us into as the United Kingdom. He didn't need to sign up to any of this.
How is this Sir Keir's making, in your view, John?
Well, we're not part of the European Union. He said what he needed to say, which is that Greenland is a matter for the Greenlanders and the Danes and the Americans. If the European Union then want to row in behind Denmark, he didn't need to row in behind them as well.
But President Trump,
his German allies have already turned tail and run.
But President Trump has said anyone who is against, he will levy tariffs on anyone who's against his Trump stance on Green. So, I mean, he's not doing this as the European Union, he's doing this as the UK and to a degree as part of NATO, John.
Well, it's a neutral stance to say what he said at the beginning, but to send, to end up lining us up for tariffs based on putting a soldier, an officer on the plane, and signing basically a petition alongside Germany, France and everybody else, is something he didn't actually have to do. The Germans have turned tail and run and put all their soldiers back on the plane yesterday morning, saying, oh, we've seen everything we need to see here, mission accomplished, bye-bye. So his allies, he's lined himself up with his allies who've already abandoned him.
Okay. All right, John. I can hear what you say. I think you have to be aware that this is, apart from the European Union, the United Kingdom will face those tariffs, as the way Trump calls it. But thanks, John. I must get as many as I can on. Chandra's in Newcastle. Chandra, your view on what you heard? Morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Nick. We are standing at the precipice of what could be the collapse of NATO. And I wanted our Prime Minister to use much sterner language and much more stricter tone. Neither the tone nor the language were appropriate, in my opinion. We have been betrayed. If America is our friend, if America has a special relationship with us, they have betrayed us in this relationship. And it's not the tone and language of somebody who has been betrayed.
What should he have said? Do you want a trade war then?
Well, I mean, America is only strong because it has got bases everywhere under the sun. Now, what if every member of the NATO gives 72 hours notice to American administration saying, look, if you don't tone down, your bases are out of our land.
But when the Prime Minister says mature alliances are not about pretending differences do not exist, the way to approach them is through calm discussion. Isn't that right, Chandra?
This is appeasement. This is appeasement. This is not calm diplomacy. And this is lack of strength, lack of rigor, and lack of values.
Chandra, thank you. Ahmed in New Malden, 30 seconds.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Nick.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
What Trump is doing is not just terrorists. He's terrorizing the whole world. It amounts to state-sponsored terrorism. These are terrorists. They are just,
so what is the response in the United Kingdom? What should that be, Ahmed?
It's very... so far, Prime Minister's response has been very weak and meek. Trump doesn't believe in diplomacy anymore. We have seen that.
Right.
He just threats, invade countries, sovereign countries.
All right. Ahmed, you had the last word, although I know this conversation will continue with my colleagues. Thank you for your input. Done for another day. If you missed any of the show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. You stay up to date with the latest news and opinions and put your news categories in the order you want. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. We're done for today. James O'Brien's The Other Side of the News here on LBC, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. A scintilla, perhaps, of light relief before we get stuck into this moment of unprecedented important, certainly in the post-war period. I don't know whether you've noticed this, you probably don't read the relevant newspapers, but almost all of the people who used to bleat meaninglessly about experts and academics pointing out the increasingly fascistic behaviour of Donald Trump are now bleating aimlessly about Lisa Nandy refusing to dissent from an interviewer asking her whether she felt Nigel Farage was showing fascistic leanings. It's almost as if these clowns learn absolutely nothing from the evidence in front of them. Because here we are, looking at Donald Trump and looking at behaviour that is historically what you would expect from a sworn enemy.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the Prime Minister appears to have ruled out retaliatory tariffs against the US as tensions continue over the future of Greenland.
Such measures hurt British workers,
British businesses and the British economy. And that is why I've been so clear on this issue. A trade war is in no one's interest.
Sir Keir Starmer has been speaking at Downing Street in the last half hour. It's after President Trump threatened tariffs on 8 European allies if they continue to oppose his efforts to take over Greenland. Sir Keir has reiterated that dialogue will be kept open, but the future of Greenland belongs to its people.
There is a principle here that cannot be set aside because it goes to the heart of how stable and trusted international cooperation works. And so any decision about the future status of Greenland belongs to the people of Greenland and the Kingdom of Denmark alone. That right is fundamental and we support it.
Stay with LBC for the latest throughout today. In other news this morning, two high-speed trains have crashed in southern Spain, killing at least 39 people. Dozens more were injured in the collision in Andalusia last night. Rescue efforts are continuing. We voiced the account of witness Bianca Berlinu, who was on board one of the trains.
We felt the first jolt, and in a fraction of a second, another very strong one. The table in front of our seat fell on top of us, the lights went out, and the carriage roof collapsed.
Reform UK has seen its second defection from a sitting Conservative MP in a week. Andrew Rosendale, the member for Rumford, was a shadow Foreign Office Minister in Kemi Badenoch's team. The government has pulled its amendment to the proposed Hillsborough Law, which aims to prevent public cover-ups. The bill's been heavily criticised over concerns that security services could be exempt from disclosing information. Ministers say they'll work to strengthen the bill without compromising national security. And legal action by Prince Harry and several other high-profile figures against the Daily Mail's publisher is set to start at the High Court. Associated Newspapers denies claims of unlawful information gathering. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 59 at 10,159. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, cloudy with outbreaks of rain for many today. Drier for central and southeastern areas with a high of 11 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Subway knows you love a good deal. So say hello to Sub Yay. Weekly deals that will make you go, yay. Like money off your fave subs and spuds, getting bonus points on your order, or free upgrades to a meal deal. That's Sub Yay. Get all the best offers exclusively for Subway Rewards members. See the Subway app for specific offer availability and T's and C's.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 10 is the time. A very good morning to you. And, well, here we are. It's hard to track, isn't it, whether or not we are hitting brick walls or just passing through ever more milestones in the assembly of increasingly incontrovertible evidence that the United States of America is led by a lunatic. I wonder whether it's time even to drop the F word. Fascistic doesn't seem to come close to some of the conduct that's been on display now. Donald Trump is a lunatic. Some of the problems we have in properly tracking these moments, of course, is knowing what's real and what isn't real. I've seen a letter, and it's been posted on a reputable site that appears to show Donald Trump complaining to the Prime Minister of Norway that because they didn't give him the Nobel Peace Prize, he's doubly committed to the notion of stealing Greenland. Presumably thinking that one Scandinavian country is very much the same as the other. We'll look into that a little later in the programme. But the point, of course, is that never has it been more important to rely upon trusted sources. And how can you, when so many of those sources in this country have been in abject and fairly pathetic denial about the obvious threat that Donald Trump poses, both to the world order and to the safety and security, whether economic or actual, of former NATO allies, most obviously, of course, in the Baltic states and Scandinavia. I thought it might be helpful to run through moments upon which, it's not an exhaustive list, but notable occasions when a UK Prime Minister has formally addressed the nation. It's not quite as rare as you might have thought. You might have thought, well, what is it? Wars and pandemics. With a little bit of Brexit, probably, the morning after. But it's a little bit more than that. But not quite as much as you might hope on a morning like this if you are thinking of investing in the odds on this not being a moment of massive importance. So if we were to go back to 1939, 3rd of September, no prizes for remembering, or indeed simply knowing, that that is the moment at which Winston Churchill chose to announce that Britain was at war with Germany following the invasion of Poland. Just under a year later, he gave the blood, toil, tears and sweat speech. It wasn't Churchill that announced Britain was at war with Germany, of course. He didn't become Prime Minister until May of the following year, at which point he gave the blood, toil, tears and sweat speech. And then on the 8th of May 1945, he announced Germany's surrender, still commemorated, of course, as VE Day. Then you have Clement Attlee, shortly after becoming Prime Minister that year, announcing Japan's surrender. Then you have 15 years pause before Harold Macmillan gave the Winds of Change speech, which was addressing decolonisation. So that probably was the last big speech about empire, the end of empire. So the beginning and the end of wars and the end of empire so far, if we were to track from 1939 to 1960, those are the moments that merited the sort of address that the Prime Minister has just delivered. The beginning and the end of wars, or the war, and the end of empire. Margaret Thatcher chose a television address to discuss hunger strikes in Northern Ireland. Similarly, a year later, the outbreak of the Falklands War. And I think, forgivably, she decided to do a sort of lap of honour on the telly in June of 87 after winning a historic third term. And then we move to the late 20th century with John Major announcing the UK's exit from the exchange rate mechanism, so-called Black Wednesday. Tony Blair gave an address following the September the 11th attacks on the United States. Also, I think the death of Diana, Princess of Wales, and the announcement of UK military action in Iraq. Then you've got Gordon Brown, outlining ways in which to stop the banks from tanking during the global financial crisis in 2008. David Cameron announcing the coalition government, something sufficiently unprecedented to merit such a moment. And then later, 6 years later, announcing his own resignation following that Brexit referendum. Then you've got the Manchester Arena terror attack, the Salisbury nerve agent attack, the first national COVID lockdown in March of 2020. The previous two were Theresa May. And then another COVID one in May, outlining the first steps to ease lockdown restrictions. And now this, which sits, I think, closer to moments of peril than it does moments of country management. Some of those examples would fit into both categories, wouldn't they? And you heard much of that speech. If you didn't, we'll be sharing some clips shortly. But Keir Starmer charged effect. Well, in fact, have a little listen to a small piece of it now.
Mature alliances are not about pretending differences don't exist. They are about addressing them directly, respectfully, and with a focus on results. On Greenland, the right way to approach an issue of this seriousness is through calm discussion between allies. And let's be clear, the security of Greenland matters, and it will matter more as climate change reshapes the Arctic, as sea routes open and strategic competition intensifies. The High North will require greater attention, greater investment,